This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Everyone, this is The Other Side of Midnight. Happy Monday. Hopefully you had a good weekend. It's the start of a brand new week. You know, I was all set to – I had a lengthy commentary on an issue that I thought you were going to be very interested in this particular hour to start the show. I give a lot of thought to what we're going to start the show with in terms of topics, what I'm going to say, what you might say. It's think – move, counter move. It's like a game of chess, trying to anticipate how the conversation goes. And then a funny thing happened to me as I was driving in the radio station last night. Started out around quarter to ten. And I was in, no exaggeration, an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours of traffic. And each highway that I was on had a different reason for the traffic. Most of that, 45 minutes to maybe an hour of that, was due to construction on a bridge. But I checked and researched the other routes. Those routes were not any better. Then you come into Manhattan, Brooklyn Bridge, FDR, and there's traffic there, this time due to an accident. Lane essentially closed because a fire truck is on it and a police truck is on it, and they're trying to get the accident moving and everything. And I just thought to myself, an hour and 45 minutes, an hour and 45 minutes that is essentially wasted. Now, I usually don't mind traffic, because I enjoy listening to the radio. And there's always a lot of good things on. But for some reason, on Sunday night going into Monday morning, there are not that many live shows. I think even if you include the all news channels and sports, I think I found three or four live radio programs on my way in. So all I could think about was that how wasted that hour and a half was, how wasted that hour and 45 minutes was. And I got here, and I had to kind of rush through preparation for the show because I anticipated having a lot more time to prepare for the show. And all I could think was that it made me really angry. And I'm nothing I could do about it because the time has passed. The situation has passed, and what's done is done. But I not only felt angry, I felt incredibly powerless because of this situation involving the traffic. And I thought to myself about that movie Network, and I know our owner, John Catsimatidis, is frequently citing this particular line from Network with Howard Beale. And it's a great film. I think even though it's gotten older, it's more relevant now than when it was released. It's a phenomenal film. If you haven't seen it, I do recommend it. I'm sorry that I haven't seen – I never got to see the Broadway show. I think it's done. Would have liked to have seen that while it was playing on Broadway. But whatever. Missed opportunity yet again. So I thought to myself, maybe people in our audience would benefit from just sharing what they're angry about. So, what I want to invite you to do is call me at 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. And simply tell me what you're angry about. And get it off your chest. Because I can't really do anything. Chances are you can't. If you're angry because your cousin owes you money, or because somebody you didn't vote for got elected to an office, or because your favorite baseball team was just swept by the Milwaukee Brewers, or because you're awake right now instead of being asleep, whatever the case may be, I want you to call me and share with not only me but the audience why you're so angry. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Because as Howard Beale pointed out in the film Network, sometimes just getting mad can be an accomplishment in and of itself.
Q, Howard.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. Damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore! I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore! Things have got to change!
How many stations does this go out?
You've
got
to get mad!
67. I know it goes to Louisville and Atlanta.
We're not going to take this anymore! Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chairs, open the window, stick your head out and yell, and say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
So he's not going to take it anymore. And we saw what happened with Howard Beale. Again, recommend the film if you haven't seen it. So I want to know, what is making you angry? 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Perhaps it's because you spent an hour today with somebody that chomps or chews their food too loudly. Perhaps it's because you were stuck on a bus with somebody who speaks too loudly on a phone. Perhaps it's because someone tells you you look tired. That one always drives me crazy. You look tired. I mean, you may as well just say you look like garbage. You know, you look tired. It's a terrible thing. When someone asks a question that was literally just answered, when someone touches your face for no reason, I know that's a hot button for a lot of people, or just plain old regular when you stub your toe. My wife the other day had a Charlie horse. It was driving her crazy. I have never seen her as angry as when she had this Charlie horse the other day. I'm trying to get her to increase her potassium content. So give me a call and tell me what is making you angry. Doesn't matter what it is. 800-848-9222. We have 8 open lines, so now's as good an opportunity as ever. We are having some difficulties with our station's website. The website is down, so you're not able to listen to the radio station through the live stream on the website. That might make some of you angry, but you can listen on the radio, or if you're in an area where the reception is not so great, you can listen through the smartphone app. So if you're someone that normally listens on the radio through the website, excuse me, not on the radio, but through the website, then you didn't hear me just say that because you probably can't hear me. But for everybody else, you can listen through the app or you can listen on the good old fashioned radio. Now, that may mean that our podcast is somewhat delayed this morning, but we're going to get it up as soon as we can and get it posted as soon as we can. 800-848-9222. Let me tell you what we have coming up. Very excited. In about 20 minutes, we're going to be joined by Stephen Ubaney. He is the author of the Who Murdered series. Who Murdered Diana? Who Murdered Elvis? Who Murdered FDR? It almost reminds me a little bit of O'Reilly's Killing series, Killing Kennedy, Killing Lincoln, Killing Patton. But he does believe that sometimes these deaths of famous people were actually murders, that Elvis did not die of drugs. He died of he was murdered, that FDR was not a natural death, but he was murdered, that Princess Diana was a car crash by design. So I'm looking forward to chatting with him. I've been enjoying reading his books. He's got some interesting theories. 800-848-9222. Vincent in Brooklyn, what is making you mad?
What's making me mad, Frank, is you hear all these millennials cheering on Alessandria Ocasio-Cortez, the Squad, and all of the people who want to push this country towards socialism, when most of these people haven't extensively visited Europe, seen the high youth employment. For example, Frank, in Italy, because there's so many rules and regulations upon opening a business, youth unemployment, that is from the ages of 18 to 25 years old, is 37%. Any job is a good job, for example, in Italy. Cleaning toilet bowls is considered a good job because it's a steady job. These people don't, you know, as the old saying goes, be careful what you wish for. You might get it. And that's what's making me angry. You see, in a country that we want to produce a bunch of lazy bums, where we want to give people money for staying home. States have individual welfare. Now we want to federalize this and make this a national thing. Now we want to give these massive amounts of child care money and pre-school care monies for people who, Frank, to put it this way, how did our parents and our grandparents get it together? They managed some way, shape, or form. Now we want to pay people to do nothing, to stay home.
See, Vincent, doesn't it feel better to get it off your chest? See? You see what a great opportunity that was? It's like a radio stress ball. Vincent, or anybody else, just share with the world what's making you angry. 800-848-9222. Also got an email here from Ellen, who writes, "Hi, Frank. I have to admit that I am so angry that we as a country are in the predicament that we are in regarding COVID. There are still many, many still dying. If everyone would get the vaccine, it wouldn't have to be like that." So Ellen is angry over COVID and some of the country's response to COVID. What are you angry about? 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. This may not do anything to stifle your anger, but if you have constipation, then I can promise you that Life Change Tea will help in that respect. Life Change Tea is a terrific product. It's an herbal proprietary blend that gives you a ton of energy without caffeine. It's a cold blend, tastes great, no fillers, no GMOs. It is completely organic. It's a mild cleanse and a daily detox that cleanses you from the inside out. Their slogan is "The tea that makes you go." Read the testimonials for yourself at GetTheTea.com. You can also order some on there. If you go to GetTheTea.com, whatever supplements you order, they sell all sorts of stuff, not just tea. If you use the promo code Frank, you'll get to enjoy free shipping anywhere in these United States. That's GetTheTea.com. Promo code Frank. GetTheTea.com. Promo code Frank. Meantime, I want to know what makes you angry. Give me a call and tell me what's making you angry right now. For me, it's the fact that I sat in 2 hours of traffic, and I'm never getting those 2 hours back as I drove in here last night. And you know, there were 2 hours that could have been much better spent either preparing for the show or sleeping. Either one, which I would have happily done. Either one. But that made me pretty angry. And it's not just that I was annoyed. It's a combination of annoyance and a feeling of powerlessness. So what makes you angry? Ed, the milkman, is in New Jersey. What makes you angry, Ed?
When people, and you probably get this too, Frank, when people say, well, you have a nice house, you own your own home, and, you know, you live a pretty comfortable life. Yeah, you're lucky. I don't know where the luck part came in. Look at the hours that we work. You got to be out there every day, no matter what the weather is. I don't get it. They just, you know, they think you're lucky.
Well, look, I hear you on that, Ed. I do view myself. I don't blame you for getting angry over that. I do view myself as lucky because I get to do this for a living. There are a lot of other people that could do this job as well or better than I can. And I'm lucky that I get to do it. I can't speak for your profession. But when somebody says you're lucky, I almost view it as meaning you're blessed, right? It doesn't mean that you won a lottery ticket. You won in a lottery ticket. It means, you know, things have worked out pretty well for you. You have a good house. You have your health. You have a situation that's going pretty well. If you have bad luck, that can screw you up. Sometimes people lose their jobs through no fault of their own. Sometimes people are stricken with poverty through no fault of their own if they have a health issue or an accident or something like that. So that wouldn't make me angry, Ed, but I'm not here to tell you what makes me angry. I'm here to give you an opportunity to vent. 800-848-9222. Johnny in Yorktown Heights, what's making you angry right now?
Hi, Frank. Yeah, Yorktown Heights, AOC's hometown. A lot of people don't know that. My son, 18-year-old, he's wandering around Queens. I guess he just got out of Citi Field with this governor's ball. I don't know if you're familiar with this.
I know it's a music thing, but I'm not too familiar with it.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, it's a typical thing, you know, you got an 18-year-old, you know, they go down and they just don't plan, you know, and I just got back from Montauk, a 4.5-hour ride, and I know within like 15 minutes, I'm going to have to get in my car and drive into Queens someplace and find this kid, so I'm angry.
I don't blame you, Johnny. I would be, too. Thank you for sharing that. What's making you angry right now? 800-848-9222. Mark is in Manhattan. Mark, what's making you angry?
Oh, hi, Frank. What makes me angry is when a caller calls in and they speak ungrammatical and they're never corrected by the host. You can do without humiliating the people, even though they probably deserve it. One host on Friday, a caller called in and said, the problem is that people don't know nothing about history. You don't say nothing. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you can't, you know, I mean, I turned the channel. I couldn't take anymore. There's no response. And you know why? Because the host is usually too busy hyping the next guest by using the word incredible an incredible number of times. Please. Let's ease up on the word incredible.
There you have it, Mark. Of all the things that are going to make you angry, again, that wouldn't be on my list of the top 100. But for Mark, it is. We're not here to judge. We're here to give you an opportunity to vent. Frank is in Queens. Frank, what's making you angry?
Hey, Frank, your prior caller there, yet no, isn't grammatically correct for you now. So just a correction. Frank, I come from an immigrant family, an Irish mother who was born and raised in Northern Ireland in the 50s and 40s. Her brother, my uncle, to get out of Belfast, volunteered to go to Vietnam. And his offer was if he survived, he got to immigrate to this country and bring two people with him. And that was my mother and her other sister. That's how I got to this country.
Wow.
When I watch the scumbag liberals let people from South America, Central America, Asia into this country illegally by the millions, and none of my extended family beyond my uncle, my mom, and her sister. We had a family of 12. I have about 50 to 100 cousins. All tried to immigrate to this country in the 1980s at the height of the troubles in Belfast. No asylum was offered, nothing. They all had to stay there and risk their lives, and many died. And this makes me angry every damn day, if you can't tell.
Thank you, Frank. 800-848-9222. Jim in Queens, what's making you angry?
Well, first of all, I enjoyed your question. I laughed out loud when you said what you were going to ask people to call in about. And I'm not particularly angry most of the time.
Neither am I.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. There's one thing that does make me angry, though, and that is when it seems to be a trend now. When people say something begs the question, da-da-da, when what they really mean is something raises the question, because begging the question is using circular logic, and they're completely misusing that expression when they say that.
And that really makes you angry?
Oh, I just want to kill when I hear that.
Wow, all right. Well, thank you, Jim. 800-848-WABC. Rob in Jersey City, what's making you angry?
Hey, Frank, love the show, man.
Thank you.
Really good, really good. And you and I have the same schedule, by the way.
Oh, wonderful. Great. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah, so I'm the one that comes on at, you know, on midnight on Sunday, just like you. And tonight I had to drive in traffic from Orange County, New York, all the way into Jersey City. And there was nothing but bumper-to-bumper traffic everywhere. And I'm saying to myself, where are all these people going at 8:30 at night on a Sunday?
Mm.
It doesn't make any sense.
So in your case, at least it was volume, right? In the two traffic incidents that I experienced today, again, for 2 hours, for what should be a 45-minute trip, one was due to construction and one was due to a car accident. And I just find myself, I don't know if you get like this, Rob, but I just find myself wondering about all the other cars, not just where they're going, but what are they listening to on the radio? Are they as frustrated at this traffic as I am? How many people are stuck in this same traffic that I am? And it's just the thing that makes me feel worse than anything about it, though, is that there's nothing you can do. You feel totally impotent. There's no control over the situation at all.
You're absolutely right. And let's talk about construction for a minute. Now, I grew up in the Bronx. They've been working on the Brooklyn Expressway for 40 years. 40 years. They've been doing construction on the same roadway for 40 years, and it's still not done. Doesn't that raise an eyebrow somewhere?
It does to me. It does to me. But we're not going to solve it today, Rob. We're just going to give people an opportunity to 800-848-WABC. Joe in Jamaica, what's making you angry?
Well, welcome back. I was going to add something else, but I'm going to change that topic for another day. However, the one thing that does get me angry is hearing from AOC and that so-called squad of hers. They have nothing intelligent to say, and they prove it every time they open their mouths.
There you have it. All right. Thank you, Joe. All right. We're going to talk about the death of Princess Diana and the death of Elvis. And we'll try and squeeze in some other celebrity deaths as well with a gentleman who is the author of a series of books, Stephen Ubaney, who murdered FDR? Who murdered Diana? Who murdered Elvis? We'll see if we can get some of the answers to those questions in just a minute. This is The Other Side of Midnight. You want to find me on Twitter, you can do so at Frank Morano. That's Frank Morano. That's Frank Morano. Let me continue straight ahead.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC. The Other Side of Midnight presents.
What you're about to hear is not a news broadcast. Perhaps you can help solve a mystery. This is the Morano Mystery.
Well, we like to explore the mysteries of the universe on this program, and so many of the mysteries that we've explored and that people have been curious about involve the deaths of celebrities. We've spoken about the JFK assassination, we've spoken about the RFK assassination, but there's so many more of celebrity deaths that people have questions about, and there's a lot more celebrity deaths that one prominent author, researcher, and public speaker has raised questions about that you might not have heard those questions elsewhere. I am very, very pleased to welcome Stephen Ubaney. He's a researcher, historian, publisher, and public speaker, and the author of the acclaimed Who Murdered series. Who Murdered Diana? Who Murdered FDR? Who Murdered Elvis? Who Murdered JFK? Who Murdered Tesla? Stephen, thank you so much for joining me on the radio.
Frank, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me. I know the hour is a little bit tough. What was the first book in the Who Murdered series that you wrote?
The first book was Who Murdered Elvis, and that was a ton of research. We don't know anything that about Elvis Presley. We just know what they allowed us to know, and that's about it, which isn't very much.
Now, I've been reading one of your books on Who Murdered Elvis, some really interesting stuff there. But let's talk about Elvis. Let's go to the beginning. I mean, history records that he died due to use of drugs, but you don't believe that's the case, clearly?
No, because the story keeps changing. First, it was a heart attack. They said it was an irregular heartbeat that killed Elvis. Well, it's awfully hard for a coroner to diagnose a regular heartbeat when the heart is not beating. So that story didn't work. So then ABC 2020, Geraldo Rivera in 1979 hopped on the bandwagon because it was good ratings. And 2020 was in trouble at the time. So they did this investigative report, and they said that, you know, all of these drugs were, consumed by Elvis during this period, and they showed this mountain of drugs. But what they did not tell you was that in 1976, Elvis Presley almost went bankrupt, and his father had seized his finances to keep him solvent. So rather than lock horns with his father over what he was buying drug-wise for everyone, he just had it all written under, prescribed under his name. And since his doctor, Dr. Nicopoulos, was basically an employee of his, it was easy to do. So it was like a candy bowl in the middle of the room, and everybody who walked by it would take a pill or two or five or whatever they wanted. And if there was one or two left, maybe Elvis would take them. But, you know, that was a story that was fictitious from the start. There were three toxicology reports done on Elvis Presley. First one was done by University of Tennessee. The second one was done by someone that they still won't reveal to us who did it. And what they came back with was just barely trace in therapeutic levels of drugs. So there's different levels of drugs in your system. There's trace. Of course, we know what a trace amount is. There's therapeutic, which is what a doctor would prescribe you. There's toxic, which will make you sick. And then finally, there's lethal. They were between trace and therapeutic. So he did have some drugs in him. They matched what was prescribed. No big deal. But, you know, if all you have is a hammer, you have to find that nail. So they keep driving and looking for this drug overdose that doesn't exist. So they take tissue samples and they send it to Bioscience Laboratories for the third and final toxicology report. And this one all of a sudden finds codeine at 11 times the lethal level, and, you know, enough drugs to, you know, kill a herd of cattle and this and that. But there's a problem with this. Elvis Presley is allergic to codeine. And in 1968, he had some dental work done. They prescribed him codeine, and he almost died from anaphylactic shock. If his doctor wasn't there, his throat would have swelled closed, and Elvis would have died. So everyone knew to keep codeine away from him. His doctors, his dentists, everyone knew that he was deathly allergic to codeine. So here's my question for everyone out there. Dan Warlick, who is the investigator who diagnosed Elvis's voice box, found no sign of anaphylaxis, no anaphylactic shock in his body. So if it's not in the body, how can it end up in one of the three toxicology reports at 11 times the lethal level? If it's not in the body, it can't be in the toxicology report. It doesn't work that way. And if you go that far, you have to ask yourself, what in the hell is going on here? We've got a conspiracy on our hands. So the drug, the codeine, all of that was wagging the dog away from something else that was going on.
To this day, the most famous photograph requested at the National Archives is the photograph taken the day that Elvis met Richard Nixon, President Nixon. Is there any sort of connection in your view, or does your research suggest there's any sort of connection with that meeting, that interaction that Elvis had with Nixon and his death?
Absolutely. And I'm not the only one who thought he was murdered. I just wanted to put that out there. In 1979, well, right after he died, the first words out of Elvis Presley's father's mouth was, "Oh my God, they've murdered my son." He hired two private investigators to investigate his death and to find the murderer. Unfortunately, Vernon died, his father, died shortly after Elvis did, and the case went cold. Dick Grob was Elvis Presley's chief of security. He wrote a book, good book, entitled The Elvis Conspiracy. He was there that morning that the weird thing started happening. And then, of course, at 2:30 in the afternoon, it was revealed that Elvis had died. He knew he was murdered. And he lays it out. We lost it earlier last year, I believe. And these people are all falling off, and it's a shame. Susanna Lee was Elvis's co-star on Paradise Hawaiian Style. She was the first one, I think, to actually go public on the air and say, when are we going to...
Stephen,
I'm trying to...
Yeah, I lost you a little bit there. She was the first one to go public and say what?
When are we going to solve the murder of Elvis Presley?
Mm-hmm.
And she lived in Memphis at the time. And when she said that, what they did, this woman, was incredible. They burned her house down. They flipped their brake lines. They did all kinds of things to this woman until she finally had to just, vacate Tennessee entirely. So there, Dr. Nicopoulos is also gone now. Dr. Nicopoulos said in a video clip, if you go to Who Murdered Elvis, which will take you to my website, there's a video clip right there of Dr. Nick saying that Elvis Presley was murdered. And he actually names the murderer. And they bleep it out. But this is nothing new. So my book is basically picking up where all of these people have left off. And it puts the capstone on the whole subject.
Can you give us an idea of who you think might have been responsible for Elvis's murder?
Well, in my book, in every book that I do, I take the suspects and I run them through the criminal process of motive, means, and opportunity. And in the end of the book, I will tell you exactly who did it, how they did it, and why they did it. So I don't want to give the book away.
Sure. No, it's a
lot of people.
It's a fascinating book. People can check out all your books at whomurderedbooks.com. That's whomurderedbooks.com. What do we know, though, Stephen, about Elvis and his relationship with the Las Vegas mob?
Very interesting subject that I'm going to have to really work fast to get this whole thing in. Elvis Presley's manager was in the mob. He, in this, and I lay this out in great detail in the book. I can't get into it here. I don't have enough time. But Colonel Parker was in with a mob very big, which is why Elvis Presley got so much, because they controlled the entire industry of entertainment at that time. That's why Elvis got such great press. Frank Sinatra, of course, his link to the mob is well known. When Elvis got married, they went in Frank Sinatra's plane. They went to Milton Perl's hotel, all gangsters. G.I. Blues was funded by a very famous Las Vegas gangster. So he's all around. He's steeped in this. And he's noticing you're trying to take over his career. So he went the other route. Elvis Presley became a black belt. Everyone around him did. He always carried guns on him, even on stage. That's why the bell bottoms came in handy. He had a pistol in his boot on stage because he was getting death threats. So enter his relationship with Nixon, which was, you know, people have made fun of this. It's not a humorous situation. What Nixon asked him to do is basically pose FBI agents in his band as backup singers and other musicians when they played in Vegas 2 months a year. And their job was to take down the mob, to get information on them. And the whole thing blew up. They were all caught. And Elvis died mysteriously before he was going to turn state's evidence against the mob. The mob had just stolen one of Elvis Presley's planes in Operation Fountain Pen. And this is a for real thing. But you don't hear this, you know, when you control the airwaves, you control what people know. And, you know, here we are, you know, 44, 45 years later, and things are just now starting to leak out. That's how closely held they were.
And so, I know folks are going to ask, and I'll ask the same question. What is most of your sourcing for this book, the Elvis book specifically? I know you said you kind of picked up where some of these other folks left off in terms of investigating leads, things that people have said publicly, questions that people have raised publicly. But the bulk of your sourcing in terms of piecing a lot of this together and exploring the means and the motives of Elvis's would-be murderers, what's most of your sourcing for this book?
I go source direct. It's the best way to go. Dan Warlick was at the autopsy. He was also one of the investigators who went back to Graceland to investigate the crime scene. And I knew him well. I went source direct. I talked to him multiple times. Dan died in 2016 now. All of these people are gone now, which is really, really a shame. So I go source direct. I think in Who Murdered Elvis, there's 45 sources in that book. They either go back to government documents or firsthand accounts. And if it's not a firsthand account or a government, if it's not verifiable, it's not in my book, because then it becomes gossip, and I'm not in the gossip business.
If people are just tuning in, we're talking with Stephen Ubaney. He's an author, a historian, a researcher. You could check out some of his books at whomurderedbooks.com. Stephen, I know you re-released the Elvis book, Who Murdered Elvis, 5 years after its initial publication with some new content. What is the new content in that book that you discovered for the second edition?
How long is this show? there was new information that came out. I actually, some of it is what happened to me. The continuation of the story of what happened to me when I went to Memphis and was on television, and the threats that I got, how sensitive this is. I actually did further digging into, you know, exactly who the FBI people were that were being hidden in Elvis's band. So there's expanded information in the second book. I wouldn't call it a part one and part two. I just think that the fifth anniversary edition has additional content in it that the first book, you know, wasn't available to me when I did the first book. So that's the difference in the two books.
You mentioned the private investigators that Elvis's father, Vernon, hired, and then the case sort of went cold after Vernon died. Have there been any other serious attempts, either privately or through any law enforcement entity, to investigate or to reopen the investigation into Elvis's death?
Incredibly, no. And everything I've even tried, I can't get anyone to look into this. Without one fingerprint being lifted from Graceland, without the toxicology report even getting back the results, the medical examiner, Jerry T. Francisco, goes in front of the camera to the waiting world and says, Elvis died of a cardiac event based on nothing. And he just threw a fancy term out there, cardiac arrhythmia, hoping that that was enough and everyone would go away and stop asking questions. So now here we go. Elvis Presley and his manager knew Lyndon Johnson. They knew many presidents very well. Nixon. Elvis was a sure-tail relation, I think, to Jimmy Carter. With all of their relationships and all the power that they had, they couldn't get anyone to look into this? Are you kidding me? So the whole thing was just, it was a complete fire stop. That's it. Look into it.
And is Elvis's daughter and his other family members, are they not interested, from what you can tell, in reopening this case?
I can't speak for them. I don't really know. I don't know. And all of this Elvis is alive thing is just, it's a distraction, you know, against, away from, to pull everyone's attention away from this cold case murder, which was, when you see the information, it's very obvious what happened. Why do you think they don't let people upstairs at Graceland? How many people do you want walking through a crime scene? You know, and this Elvis is alive thing is damaging. Susanna Lee, like I said, was a co-star of Elvis Presley. And she said that he had, when she was in the movie, the first 2 weeks weren't even shot with Elvis. He was in the studio laying down music tracks. He had people who were surgically altered to look like him as body doubles, like in Son of Acapulco when he's jumping off the,
You're kidding. And that's according to Susanna Lee.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, if you look at some of the press releases, the photos in Paradise and Wine Style, it's obvious. There's one of them where she's got her arms around this guy, and he's a body double. He's been surgically altered to look like him. This is who these people are seeing at Burger King, not Elvis.
Wow.
These people are now about the same age, and this is what they're seeing. You know, the one guy's name was John. The other guy's name was Matt. I think Matt is the one in the press kit, and you can tell because he has a very U-shaped jaw. Elvis's face was very triangular. And this guy had more, his jowls were thicker, and you can clearly tell it's not Elvis. But back then, when they pulled this off, and they were cranking out a movie every 30 days, there's no way one guy's going to do all this. Obviously, they needed help.
That is wild. You're going to have to come back and hopefully do a full hour, because there's a lot that I want to delve into just on Elvis's death alone, but on all of your books. Very quickly, though, before I let you go, you've written the book Who Murdered Diana. Princess Diana was killed in a car crash. You believe that this car crash was no accident, but the result of foul play. Just give us the Reader's Digest version of why you don't believe the official story when it comes to Diana's death.
Oh, boy, it'd be hard to wrap up in a thumbnail. Because it was loaded with lies. It was just, they controlled the media and they spun it. You know, here we have the most famous woman in the world. And she just got into a car accident, which was planned, by the way. And it takes them 2 hours to get her 4 miles to a hospital. They're paying the most famous woman in the world. They're paying more attention to the dead bodies. And they're letting her bleed out. She'd have been better off if she ordered a Domino's pizza and rode back with the driver to the hospital. So Mercedes-Benz can't figure out why. They crash tested that car. It speeds higher than the collision that killed all of these people. So they offered the French government and they offered to the British government to independently look at the car and see if it was defective, see what was going on. They were refused every single time. The only person who ever inspected that car was paid not to find anything. And if you look at the Paget report, which was a report the British government did to investigate this, it is almost a carbon copy of the Warren Commission report. In the same situation, they blame the dead guy for it. It's the same situation without the toxicology report even coming back on Henry Paul. They say he was drunk as a pig, he was this, he was that. They didn't even have the toxicology report back yet, and they're already spinning the story. He wasn't drunk at all. They had him on video walking around, tying his shoes. You know, but all of a sudden he has, you know, he's so drunk he can't stand up. Well, how did this happen? You know, obviously, it doesn't take a mathematician with a slide rule to figure out that, you know, they're lying to you. And as time goes by, when something happens like this, everyone's looking for information and there's none to be found. But as time goes by, information leaks out. In the case of FDR, there was a deathbed confession. One of his cousins came out with a diary and revealed what was really going on. The FDR is an interesting subject, but we don't have time to get into. 12 years after FDR's death, Eleanor Roosevelt is so tired of hearing the whisperings around Washington, D.C. that he was murdered, she hired a private investigator to get his medical records. And guess what? They were stolen from a locked file in Bethesda.
Wow. No, well, I definitely want to hear more about the FDR situation. And even Dodi Al-Fayed's father, Muhammad Al-Fayed, he was very skeptical almost from the beginning of the official story of Princess Diana dying in this car crash. There are going to be those who say, Stephen, that it seems a little far-fetched that the five or six celebrity deaths that you've chronicled in your books are all the result of murders. There are going to be the cynics in our audience who say, well, how can every celebrity death be the result of a murder? Is this, in some way, a way to either get attention or to sell books? What do you say to folks that think that this might be just a bit too far-fetched that everybody was murdered?
Well, I don't remember saying everybody was murdered.
Well, that's fair.
I believe in like five conspiracies. That's it. I don't care if the earth is flat or round. All I care about is that I'm on it. Okay. If they want to go fight windmills, let them. All right. It has nothing to do with what I believe. It's what the data tells me. It's what the information says. That's it. And you know, as far as people, I mean, there's still people who think that red dye number two is good for you. So I can't speak for what people think. You know, and you know what? I don't care.
Well,
3,900 hours and about $7,000 invested in writing and researching and publishing Diana. You know, I mean, these books are never profitable. I do it because I don't write these for me. I write these for all of you. I already know the truth. So I think I might make a nickel an hour by the time I'm done with all this.
Well, I could tell in these books how much work goes into it. I wouldn't doubt that a nickel an hour, after all the work that's in these books, that wouldn't be an unrealistic rate. If people want to check out the books, though, they can go to whomurderedbooks.com. Stephen, I do hope we could chat again in the future about FDR, Tesla, and even JFK as we approach the anniversary of his death.
I'd be looking forward to that very much. Yeah, and all of these people, they ended up in situations that were contrary to a governing body's interests. You know, in the case of Diana, she was starting a landmine ban, and there are countries around this world whose gross national product depends on either the legal or illegal sale of small arms and landmines.
Stephen, we're going to have to end it there. I very much appreciate the time this morning. I look forward to our next conversation.
Thanks, Frank.
Stephen Ubaney, you could check out his website, whomurderedbooks.com. You want to comment on any portion of our conversation, give me a call, 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. You know, on the radio, as I was struggling to find, as I was sitting in traffic last night, something live to listen to, I was listening to one station that had some economic reports, and essentially, everyone agrees that inflation is a big problem. Everybody. There's no debate about it. The question is what we're seeing with inflation now transitory, or is it here to stay? Well, a lot of experts believe that inflation is here to stay, and it could even get worse. So what does that mean for you? That means if your money is sitting in a traditional retirement account, it's getting eaten away right under your nose. Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and protect your retirement. If you have an existing retirement account, you must roll it into a gold or a silver IRA. And if you do, you should think about doing it with legacy precious metals. The last time the stock market collapsed and Americans lost their retirement, those that were invested in gold saw huge gains and avoided the financial carnage. This is why gold really should be a part of every wise investor's portfolio. Legacy is the company that you can trust because they give you unbiased counsel based on your individual situation. So contact Legacy Precious Metals today. Call 866-932-0635. That's 866-932-0635. Or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and I go, can't go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place. Well, do anything that you want to do, but not, honey, lay off them shoes. And don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over.
The great Elvis Presley singing Blue Suede Shoes. You know, I don't know whether Elvis Presley was murdered or not. But I do know what a tragedy it was to have Elvis taken from the world at such a young age, for him to be only 42 years old when he died. And for him to, I was listening to some Elvis as on the way in last night. I do have an Elvis channel. And for him to have produced the incredible body of music, in spite of the fact that he died at the age of 42, it's simply extraordinary. If you want to comment on any portion of my discussion with Stephen Ubaney, you can do so. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. I know a lot of our radio station is working, but we're having some problems with the stream. So if you can't reach us through the app or the website, you can listen on tunein.com. That's tunein.com. If you're one of the lucky people that are listening on the radio right now, then the best thing you could do is tell a friend. Tell a friend, psst, Frank's on tunein.com. So you can go ahead and do that. Screening your calls is the returning Molly, who we really missed on Friday, but we're happy that she's back with us now. And with us, as always, is Matt Sapienza, who you've already been hearing doing the news. Matt, how was your weekend? What did you do all weekend?
I had a good weekend. I actually drove to Jersey to see Molly at a jazz festival in Montclair.
Molly was performing at the jazz festival.
No, she wasn't.
I'm always performing.
That's for sure. So that's not, you guys don't get enough of each other 5 days a week. You wanted to get in a sixth day of...
I have to throw this out there. Alex came too.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
So it was the three of us, and I made the joke at one point. I was like, hey, we're Frank's Angels.
Although it was very interesting, Frank did not get an invite to this jazz festival in Montclair.
I didn't invite you because I thought you were busy with a baby shower. You know, I thought that might be more important.
You know, I did have a busy weekend. I had a baby shower. I had the Silla run. I had my friend Jeffrey Goldstein visiting. I had a dinner Friday. I was busy. But sometimes it's nice to be asked. You know what it is? I'm like the prettiest girl that no one asks to the prom because everyone always assumes that I have a date.
I'll keep that in mind
next
time, okay?
Thank you. You, Alex, and Matt are having your little radio conventions in Montclair, and I'm playing ping pong on Staten Island. All right. Actually, I really enjoy playing ping pong. All right. Coming up next, have you ever been to a psychic? What was your experience with a psychic? Positive, negative, in between? 800-848-9222. Until next hour, help control the pet population. Get your dog or cat spayed or neutered.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Moreno. If you want to participate in the Facebook discussion, you can go on Facebook and search Moreno Radio Fans and Haters and join the Facebook group. It is interesting to me. You'd think that if you're in the Facebook group, people would check what everybody else is posting before posting it themselves. For instance, there's like three or four people right now who are all saying, is anyone else having trouble listening to the app, or is anyone else having trouble listening to the stream? Now, you'd know that the answer to that question is yes if you first looked at the other questions that people were asking. So it's always good to see first before you make a comment if there is a relevant comment that you're interested in hearing the answer to. Those of you that are holding, I will get to you. I have always, from the time I was a child, been fascinated by the world of psychics. And I'm not sure if I believe in psychics, honestly, that some people have psychic ability. I think I do. And I think it could be a reflection of my just wanting to believe that there's some sort of supernatural ability to tell the future or tell that things are happening. But I don't know. So I have heard from some people that have had experiences with psychics over the years, and this psychic just nails it. They nail them to a degree of specificity that you couldn't make up. I hear from a lot of other psychics, and I've had many of them on the radio and on TV. And a lot of these psychics are so vague and so general that they can say anything that seemingly applies to you. So I am curious if there's any of you that have actually been to a psychic, and if you have, what that experience was like. Did you find the psychic was accurate? Did they offer predictions that subsequently came true? Or did you find that the psychic was a charlatan trying to rip you off? Because I'm trying to figure out in my own brain if there's anything to this. 800-848-WABC. Most of the psychics that I've spoken with on radio and on television, most of them I have been unconvinced by. Mediums are a different situation, but it's in the same family. But I'll tell you who I find really impressive, and we may have to have him back here before the end of the year, Oz Perlman. And he doesn't call himself a psychic. He calls himself a mentalist. That is an impressive person. I don't know how he does what he does. If you have never heard my discussions with Oz Perlman, go back and listen to the podcast, because, I mean, you want to talk about somebody. He is the most incredible performer I've ever seen. And I'm hoping we can get him in studio sometime soon. But he's very clear not to call himself a psychic, although he says he does a lot of things that psychics do. On television one time, I did have a psychic on. I was co-hosting a show on Newsmax called Liquid Lunch. It was on every day at high noon. And we did have a psychic on. And she was very interesting, because she said two things that I found really interesting. One was, she said, is there anything having to do with gold on you? And this was before I was married. I wasn't wearing a gold wedding ring or anything like that. And I thought at first, no, I don't think there is. And then I realized that day, Joe Piscopo, who I was working with at the time, had just given me a gold cigarette lighter from Greece. So I did have gold on me, and I didn't even realize it. And I said, oh, yeah, I guess there is. And then this particular psychic also said something else interesting. She said, your fiancé is changing careers. That was true. Okay. And she's going to go into interior design. Now, that was sort of an off-the-wall prediction because my wife is a journalist and she's always been a journalist. But sure enough, the job that my wife got after leaving one newspaper, she went to go work for an interior design firm. She had not planned on it. She just kind of fell into it. So I found that pretty interesting. The combination of the gold and the prediction that turned out to be accurate of interior design. Could she have just gotten lucky? Maybe. And I think a lot of the people, let's say there are real psychics, and I'd be curious as to your experience, and I want to hear from you, 800-848-9222. If there are real psychics, there are also many people that are total charlatans. I'll never forget, about 13 years ago, I was on a date with a woman. She was a friend, but she was, you know, somebody that I was also kind of romantically pursuing. And sure enough, and obviously this is the kind of thing that always happens to me, I forgot where I parked my car. Couldn't find it. And we are walking around forever looking for my car in Manhattan. And we're walking. It seemed like 45 minutes. And we were walking all over the place. And we pass a psychic. And it says, first reading, I think the first reading was $3. And I said to her, we go into the psychic shop, Linda and me. And I said to the psychic, I said, hey, we can't find our car. Can I pay you the $3 and you could tell me where it is? And the psychic tells me, ah, that's not the kind of reading I can do for $3. A reading like that would cost $20. So I said, okay, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to look around another 15, 20 minutes, and if we can't find it, then we'll come back to you and we'll pay the $20. At that point, what will I have to lose? But that to me said, you know, a lot about what this particular psychic, her bona fides. Have you ever been to a psychic, and what was your experience? 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Bob is in the Boogie Down Bronx. Hello, Bob.
Hello. Did you mean Byron?
No, I meant Bob.
Okay.
Are you Bob or Byron?
I'm Byron.
Oh, all right.
Boogie Down Bronx. Listen, I became a firm believer in the ability of some people to see the future. It happened in 1969. I was like a 15-year-old kid at summer camp, and there was a newspaper still in existence, the National Enquirer. And every year they would have the leading psychics make predictions for the coming year. You know, Gene Dixon and that bunch. Well, there was some psychic, I don't remember his name, but he predicted in July that that summer, and it was already halfway over, Senator Edward Kennedy would become involved in a very serious motor vehicle accident, either in or near water. He wasn't sure. He said, I see water and I see death, but I don't think it's Senator Kennedy. Somebody else is going to die in that accident. And 5-6 weeks later, Senator Kennedy, his car went off the road in Chappaquiddick Island in Massachusetts. And Mary Jo Kopechne died. Now, that made me a firm believer because that is a great deal of specificity. What do you think?
Well, the scenario that you laid out is pretty convincing. But given that was an accurate prediction, did you ever yourself go to a psychic after that?
Oh, no. Once I called, they used to have these 800 numbers. And I just called to test this lady out. And the first 5 minutes, they keep you on the phone because you got to pay like $3 a minute or something like that.
Right.
And she's asking me all these questions about myself. And I'm like, wait a minute. Those are exactly the questions I was going to ask you to see if you're legit. So I just hung up the phone. I never actually went to one and sat at a session. You know why, Frank? I'd be scared to do that. Because if they know about the future, my future, then they probably also know about my past. And I don't want to sit there with somebody telling me they know everything I did when I didn't think anybody was looking. Get it?
Okay. I do, Byron. Byron, thank you very much for the call. Have you ever been to a psychic, and what was your experience? Did it leave you as a believer, or did it leave you as even more of a skeptic? 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. We also have Bruce in Nevada. Hello, Bruce.
Hello, Frank.
How you doing, Bruce?
How are you tonight? Pretty good. I called about Elvis, but real quick about the psychic, I can tell you something very quickly. If you meet with a psychic and there's no money involved, you will be really motivated to contact them again.
Well, so repeat that. So if you meet with a psychic and there's no money involved, and
they will say something to you and you will be very motivated to contact them again.
Well, so
this is for a secret. Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
Well, they're very intuitive and they will say something to you. They'll make you very motivated to reach out and contact them again.
So are you saying that that they're not for real and they just know the right way of reading people and the right, you know, kind of things to say to get you hooked and coming back?
A lot of that, yeah. But they motivate people.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly true, Bruce. I think that's certainly true. What did you want to say on the Elvis front?
Elvis is a very interesting topic. He mentioned Colonel Parker. I didn't hear the whole interview, but if you look into the history of Colonel Parker, he is a very odd and amazing person who always seems to show up at the right time, especially when there's money involved. Mm. With Elvis, he met him when he was very young.
Yeah, no, and I don't believe he was even really a colonel, Bruce.
Colonel Sanders.
Thank you, Bruce.
Yeah.
Thank you. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Have you ever been to a psychic, and what was your experience? Positive, negative, something in between? Tell me. Let me say hello to Sharka in Rockland County. Hello, Sharka.
Hello, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well. Have you ever been to a psychic?
Yes. I am from Czech Republic, and I went to one old lady in the village where we have country house, and it was very, very interesting experience. I was very careful what she was asking me. I didn't want to reveal everything or stuff, and she predicted me that I'm going to make a very long trip to and over the ocean, and I came here to United States. And then she told me that I have a stepbrother. So and it's true. So I never told her anything, and she just told me that. So that was very interesting. She was like an old lady, and she was right.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Sharka. I mean, I want to believe in psychics, and I want to believe that they can tell us things about ourselves and our future. But America, there's a lot of people that want to move to America from all over the country. So if someone has a foreign accent and they're in New York and they're in America, is it really that much of a stretch for a psychic to say, I see you moving to America?
No, but she didn't say I'm gonna be moving to America. She said you're gonna expect long trip, and I already in my mind I knew I wanted to go as an au pair. I wanted to be an au pair, and first I thought England, and then I came here to America. So she just said basically you're gonna have long trip over the ocean. She didn't say where.
I see.
She just told me that.
All right. Well, I'm happy to have you in the country, Sharka, and I'm happy to have you as a listener. Thank you for listening. 800-848-9222. Have you ever been to a psychic? And if so, what was your experience? Did you come away a believer? Mike's in New Hyde Park. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Frank.
I've never been to a psychic professionally, but I've met people who have claimed to be psychics. I agree with your caller. He was about two or three callers ago, and he closed with, "I'd be afraid to go to a psychic." And that immediately reminded me of Shakespeare's Macbeth. Macbeth meets the weird sisters, the three witches, and they're not psychics, but they ignite his ego and create his future. They didn't see his future. That's really the theme of that.
Right. No, I've read Macbeth, and you're exactly right. I mean, that's a common frame throughout literature and throughout different theatrical productions. In fact, that Twilight Zone episode with William Shatner, where he meets the machine that tells his future, that's what's happening in that episode.
That was a good one. Can I comment on the Elvis really
quick? Yeah, please, Mike. It's your dime.
Thank you. it's a very entertaining segment. I love all that stuff. Bigfoot, UFOs, Elvis impersonators. But I don't believe in any of it. I find it hard to believe that there's a team of surgically altered people out there trying to look like Elvis. It kind of reads like a $6 million man episode. You know, I mean, can they jump out of helicopters and stuff? But anyway, it was a great segment. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed the show.
Thank you. I have a tough time believing it as well, Mike. But that's why I asked what the sourcing was, right? 800-848-WABC. Have you ever been to a psychic? And if so, what was your experience? Howard is in Elmhurst. Hello, Howard.
Hi, how are you, Frank? Hope you had a nice walk. I was at a singles meeting, and there was a psychic couple there, and they knew exactly the name of a woman I had in my mind.
Oh.
I didn't reveal it. I didn't tell anybody. And they knew the exact name, and I found it unbelievable.
Well, so that's when I've dealt with Ose Perlman or other mentalists, they are able to do something that they can tell what you're thinking. I don't know what it is, but they're able to tell what you're thinking at different points. There are some people that have been able to figure that out. Now, being a mentalist and being able to read someone's thoughts, that is a little bit different than being able to predict someone's future. And a psychic, I mean, different psychics claim different things, but a psychic, they claim to be able to tell you what direction your life is headed in. And that's something that I'm curious if there's ever been an accurate psychic prediction for anyone in our audience.
I don't know, because I don't agree with those people, because somebody said I was going to be a rabbi. I could never be a rabbi because I could never see that much.
I can understand that, Howard. Well done. It sounds like you turned out okay regardless. Thank you for the call. 800-848-9222. Matt and Molly, you've ever been to a psychic, either of you? Neither of you strike me as the psychic type. Molly might, actually.
My mom and my sister are definitely people who would go to psychics.
But they haven't been?
No, my mom definitely has been. I don't know about my sister.
And what was her experience?
Her experience, she absolutely believes every word they say.
Interesting.
She'll take every single word they say and just go for it, and it works every time, apparently.
Every single time. Give me an example. What's one piece of information?
She's never given me, any specific examples, but we were talking about it once over dinner, because one of my sister's friends has tarot cards. And my mom was like, oh, my God, you should, give her the card, and she gives her the card for her psychic. And I was like, you go to a psychic? And she was like, yeah. I was like, has it worked? And she was like, oh my God, you wouldn't believe.
I believe it's bad practice to tell people what your psychic has said to you.
Oh, really?
Before it comes true.
That's probably why she hasn't told me.
So have you been to a psychic?
I've not been to a psychic, but I did mention to Matt before. I was like, hey, I might bring my tarot cards in tomorrow.
Do you do tarot cards?
Yeah. But I don't do it as a prediction thing. It's more like a self-check-in.
Interesting. Okay.
Where you look at the messages that are being sent to you, and I have messages in air quotes.
Well, let us know if the tarot cards say anything about when the stream will be restored.
Yeah.
I wish I had them on me.
800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Coming up, we still have commendations at 3 a.m.
And we have a couple other things on your radar screen, including when is too early to put up decorations for various holidays. We'll get into that. And a few other highlights from my weekend. I'll share you what I was up to. Hopefully you got a chance to do something fun as well. 800-848-9222. We will return momentarily on the other side of midnight, straight ahead.
You're hearing things on 77 WABC.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Oh, hot diggity dog, diggity boom, what you do to me? It's so new to me. What you do to me? Hot diggity dog, diggity boom, what you do to me? When you're holding me tight.
Never dreamed anybody could kiss that away, bring me bliss that away, what a kiss.
Excellent choice, Matt Sapienza. That is the great Perry Como. You are listening to The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. It's Monday morning, start of a brand new week, and we're talking about psychics. I'm trying to figure out, just for myself, whether psychics are for real or not. And whether they can be real or not. I mean, I think everybody acknowledges, even if you're a big psychic person, that there are a lot of people out there just pretending to be psychics in order to make money. My question is anybody for real, right? Can you go to someone and they give you an accurate prediction about your future? And they give you guidance based on your individual situation to help you make the right decision for your future? 800-848-9222. Have you been to a psychic? And if so, what was your experience? Tarhue is in the Bronx. Hello, Tarhue.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I like your show.
Thank you.
I just want to contribute a little bit my experience with psychic. I am a taxi driver in New York City. Yellow taxi driver. I once took a lady, and she began to tell me she's a psychic. I said, "Oh, that's good. Do you want me to read something for you?" I said, "Am I going to pay something?" And she said, "Kind of." I said, "What? Kind of?" Then she said, "Okay, I'm going to tell you something. If I'm right, you pay." I said, "Okay, go ahead." And then she started telling me, there's a woman in your life that you like, but your father is rejecting you. He doesn't want her. And I said, okay, you know what? Hold it right there. Let me take you home, and you pay me my money, and then I go back to work. First of all, my dad is not alive. And there's no woman other than my wife. I have a wife. I'm married with kids.
So she was full of it.
Yes, she was. Listen, she wanted to change topic. She wanted to bring something. I said, "Listen, I'm sorry, I have to concentrate."
Right. See, that's what's so interesting, Tarhue, is because what she told you is so general that it could apply to so many people, and it just so happened that it didn't apply to you. And if she was a psychic that was worth her salt, she would have told you to stop driving the yellow cab and switch to driving Uber. Am I right, Tarhue? All right. Thank you, Tarhue. I appreciate you sharing that. 800-848-9222. See, that only enhances my skepticism. And again, maybe there are real psychics out there, but I think most of the ones you see, they're just showmen. Tell me if I'm wrong. If you have had an experience contrary to that, 800-848-WABC, that's 1-800-848-9222. Carol is in New Jersey. Hello, Carol.
Hey, Frank. I used to go to a restaurant in North Bergen years ago. I mean, this was like years ago. And there was an older lady that used to come in and do readings for people for free. And I was shocked that she actually knew certain aspects of my life. I don't know how.
Well, tell me some of them. Tell me what she knew about. Did she know about your relationship with Joe Jackson, for instance? Because that would be impressive.
Well, no. But she did say that I would have perhaps a career in music and entertainment, which is true. I did work in the music industry, and I did work in entertainment. But my sister, who I don't really associate with anymore, but this was like years and years ago, she did tarot readings for me a couple of times because she was involved in that kind of stuff. She was interested in all of that, Wicca and other things. And she was correct about some things, too, when she read the cards.
All right. Well, I mean, Carol, whatever works for you. I find that the example that you gave, the entertainment and music, I don't find that convincing enough. I don't find that specific enough to be convincing. Now, you're a very theatrical person. You have a nice voice.
Yeah.
I think anybody could predict that you might aspire to a career in entertainment or music. But who knows? Maybe she was for real. 800-848-9222. Tell me your experience if you've ever been to a psychic. I'd love to hear some pro psychic people I guess Carol was pro psychic, but some convincing pro-psychic people. Like, I'd love to hear somebody say, well, you know, I had a child that was missing for 6 years, and I went to a psychic. The psychic told me, look in XYZ field, and I looked there, and the child was there, and we found her. I mean, that's the kind of story that I'm looking to hear from somebody, if they're even out there. John is in upstate New York. John, what was your experience?
In 1972, I'm 65 years old now, they told me I was not going to last with my girlfriend. It's not going to last. It didn't last. We dated 7 years. She got pregnant. We had an abortion. It never lasted. I got married in 82. That lasted 2 years. Now I've been married for 33 years with the same woman, and I've been legally blind for 16 years.
So, John, but did the psychic predict any of the legal blindness, for instance, or the divorce?
Nope.
So the only thing the psychic predicted is the girl you were with, you wouldn't end up with.
No, it was never going to last.
Right. All right, but okay. All right. But that's almost like, and I get that she was right, but it's almost like flipping a coin, right? Because either your relationship will last or well, I mean, if Matt predicts that Rachel is going to have a boy when she's giving birth in December, he'll have a 50-50% chance of being right. That doesn't make him a psychic any more than your lady was a psychic.
Right. Well, I'm Italian like you. Okay? Remember they would do the oil over your head?
Yeah.
And they predict this, they predict that. You know what I'm saying.
Oh, no, absolutely, John. So after, given your experience with that girl and that psychic, do you buy into this or do you not?
I don't know, Frank. I don't know.
All right. Well,
I got other things. I don't know.
All right.
I'm being honest with you.
Neither do I. Neither do I, which is why I'm exploring it, John. But see, if they would have told John, yeah, you know, you're going to be legally blind in 5 years. That, and then he went legally blind. That is something that I would find convincing. That's something I could find convincing. If somebody told me yesterday, you know what, you're going to sit in traffic for 2 hours and not find anything good to listen to on the radio on the way in, that would be somewhat convincing. You know, the more specific you can get, you know, the better off you are. You remember that Seinfeld where they all go to a psychic and George ends up canceling his vacation, gives his tickets to Kramer, and Kramer has just a great time. And it's not really clear why George had to cancel his vacation. That was a pretty funny episode, I must say. 800-848-9222. Dan is in Queens. Dan, have you ever been to a psychic?
Yes, I have. A friend of mine's son actually is considered a medium.
Oh, okay. All right. So tell me your experience.
Well, I've been with him several occasions, and he will specifically say things that only you would know. And it's mind-blowing because I've been around it three or four times, and there was something specific with my when my mother had passed. And he did like a small group of us, and he does random whatever he picks up. But there was something in regards to my sister, which was an unfortunate thing that happened, you know, way many, many years ago. And I said to myself, if he brings that topic up, and no one mentioned it at all, and he never met my sister at all, he brought this specific topic up, and I'll be honest with you, it was an abuse from a step-grandfather back when my sister was 11, and she's 65 now. And he picked this up, and he knew about it. My sister got all emotional about it, and he said, I know what happened. I could stop it right now. If you want to continue it, I can. But if you want to, it's called blanketed, and we could talk about it at another time. So that was really, that blew my mind. And then I had asked him, is that because my mother was always very upset that, you know, she always found out later in life. When I asked him that question, he said, your mother is taking care of it. He grabbed my arm and said, Your mother is taking care of it now. And I was like, and I found my mother passed away in her bed, unfortunately, you know, like 2 years ago. And he said,
sorry,
you know this. Said, your mother's very sorry you found her that way.
Well, that is interesting. So look, yeah. I view mediums, and I don't know what the technical difference is between a medium and a psychic, but I view mediums as a little bit different, right? So I view mediums as people that are able to communicate with the dead, whereas psychics I view as people that are able to predict the future. And so far, I haven't really heard much of a really convincing anecdote about a psychic accurately predicting a specific future event. Mediums, I'm almost, because I've seen some mediums that have offered some pretty specific predictions, or not predictions, but pretty specific analyses catered to an individual, that I find it's too specific to just be a generic thing. And even John Edward, who did that on television for a long time, I found him pretty convincing, I have to say. So, all right. Thank you, Dan. Sorry again about your mom. 800-848-WABC. Joe is in Manhattan.
Hi there.
Hello, Joe.
Now, you are one of the smartest, most knowledgeable people on the radio.
So far, I agree with everything you said.
Absolutely. I'm not kidding, by the way. I'm not buttering you up or anything. Now, I wish, on other shows, we would be able, we listeners, to learn one-tenth of what we learn on your
program. Oh, well, that's awfully nice. Thank you.
Indeed. Now, my point is regarding psychics, etc. Now, quite often it does happen that people go to psychics to get attention. That's number one. Two, a psychic who charges money, right, or any remuneration, right, his or her predictions are not going to work out. Another point I have is that people who go to psychics who try to believe, right, in the theory or, well, science, no. They would focus only on the items that end up to come out to be true, but they completely forget about
right. You're
all
right.
The non-predictions.
You know, that is such a good point, Joe. And you know what? I do that. When I'm making...
One more point, right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I just forgot for a moment what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, by the way, I just want to make one point very important, you know. The smartest people, adults, could be pretty childish in their thinking in certain regards. And also one thing philosophically that I've learned, you know, and I'm sure you know about it, the smartest people can do the dumbest things on the planet. And the dumbest people, supposed, you know, dumb people can be very smart in other aspects. So my point is that nobody in the world is smart in every respect.
Yeah, you know, it's a great point.
And nobody
Joe.
Is dumb in every respect.
It's a great point. Thank you. And I know some very, very bright people that are completely clueless in many different areas of life. And I know a lot of prominent business people who've been very successful in terms of making a lot of money, who I find to be some of the dumbest people I've ever encountered. So that actually happens to be correct. But as far as Joe's other point about when someone goes to a psychic and then they remember the things that were accurate but not the things that were not accurate, that is right. That is absolutely right, because I've found, and maybe this is just human nature, whenever I make a prediction about sports, about politics, about anything, really, I will always make the most outrageous prediction you can imagine. Because what happens? One, if you're right, you look like a genius. You look like a genius, and everyone remembers it and says, oh my goodness, he predicted this. But if you're wrong, nobody remembers it. They basically just say, oh, yeah, of course. Of course the Giants were going to lose. Well, you know, I can't even believe it was a question. So people do remember the accurate predictions and not the inaccurate ones. I do that all the time. And that's exactly been my experience. 800-848-9222. Charlotte is on Long Island. Charlotte, have you been to a psychic?
Yes, I have. I was at a party one time, and there was a woman there, and we would each one of us take turns going into another room with her. So the first thing she asked me to do was write down my children's birth dates, and I had four at that time, and they're pretty close together. And so she said, do they all have the same father? And I said, yes, they do. And she put her pencil on the youngest one's name and said, even him, and had forgotten he's actually adopted. So basically, he did have a different father.
Ah, very interesting.
And the other thing was that nobody at that party knew, but I used to drive an ambulance, and I was at a call one night. It was a fire, and a couple of people had died. And so she said, I see you at a fire, but it's not your house, and someone had died. And I think that's pretty specific.
Oh, that is. I find both of those anecdotes pretty convincing. So aside from that experience at that party, have you ever been to a psychic on any other occasions?
Well, one time there was a psychic when I was having my nails done, and she wanted to know if I wanted a reading, and I said no. So she told me, well, I just want to tell you, I know you're worried about going blind, and don't worry, you're not going to go blind. So I was thinking, I'm not worried about going blind. And then before I left, she came back to me and she said, so I just want you to know you will not go blind. So I was talking to my friends and I said, do you ever wonder, like, if you went blind, how would you know if you had spinach caught in your tooth or something like that? And nobody had ever thought about that. So I thought, maybe I do worry about going blind.
Well, but you're still sighted as far as we could tell.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's good, Charlotte. And I'm happy to have you as a listener and as a caller. Thank you. 800-848-9222. Stephanie is in Montreal. Hello, Stephanie.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
So my experience was I had just met this guy, and there was definitely an attraction. And it was just one meeting, actually. And so I had spoken to a psychic about him, and as soon as I started to talk about him, the psychic started limping, and he looked at me and he said, "Why am I limping?" And I it was so astonishing because this man had a limp.
You're kidding?
Yeah. Now, how would this psychic
Well, that's
know?
Wild. I mean, that's really interesting.
There's no way that he could have known.
Huh. So,
you know, but did it was you... true. He did. There was something wrong with his leg. He was a very, very attractive man. But he did walk with a limp, and so he expressed this to me, and I was just so. I was very impressed with that, you know. So I just thought I would call in and let you know.
Well, no, I appreciate that, Stephanie. Have you been to a psychic in any other circumstances?
Yes, I went a few times here and there. We had some shows here in Montreal at the Place Bonaventure, where there were several tables, and but most of them were sort of generalized, you know, impressions. That was really the only time where you know I was very impressed, actually. Any other time, it was just, you know, kind of general, as I said, just general information, basically.
All right. Well, Stephanie, I appreciate you sharing that. I appreciate you listening all the way up there in Canada. Thank you very much. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Here's something you don't need to be a psychic to predict. If you order Life Change Tea, you will have more energy, you will have a healthier digestive system, and you will feel better in general. Because Life Change Tea is a phenomenal product that cleanses you, that detoxifies you from the inside out, that gets all the garbage that's in your system from all the food we eat and all the preservatives we acquire through the food we eat, gets it out of your system. That's why they call it the tea that makes you go. And it certainly does make you go, believe me. So if you haven't tried this yet, I do hope you will. You can go to the website getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. In addition to ordering some of the Life Change Tea on there, you can also order some of the other great supplements that are on there. They have supplements for your immune system, for other aspect, for energy, for all sorts of different things. And whatever you order on there at getthetea.com, if you use the promo code Frank, you will get to enjoy free shipping anywhere in these United States. It's getthetea.com, promo code Frank.
You know that gypsy with the gold cap too. She's got a bag that I'm pretty fucking fine. Selling little bottles of love potion number 9. I told her that I was a flop with chicks. I've been this way since 1956. She looked at my palm and she made a magic sign. She said what you need is love potion number 9.
The Searchers, Love Potion Number 9, a terrific song selected by Molly. And if you've ever seen the film Love Potion Number 9 with Tate Donovan, there's a big part of that film which has to do with, of all things, a psychic. It's a fun film. Is it a great film? No. But it's a fun little romantic comedy. If you're looking for a fun way to past 90 minutes of time, it's a fun film. You got Tate Donovan in there, Sandra Bullock. It's an enjoyable film. It's about 30 years old now. I remember seeing it in theaters. And that song is a big part of it. So I will get to your calls in just a minute. My wife is with child. She's expecting our first child in December. So my mother threw her a baby shower yesterday. And from what I can tell, I've been to a couple of Jack and Jill baby showers, but from what I can tell from most of the women-only baby showers, which this one was, it seems like every baby shower is just horrible, right? And I know this from my wife. My wife has dreaded going to almost all these baby showers. So one of the things that she wanted to do was make her baby shower a little less horrible than most of the baby showers she attends. So what they did was they had it at a restaurant, and you know there was good food and drinks and things of that nature. But my wife decided that was going to be no opening of gifts. No opening of gifts. So a lot of people ended up sending gifts to the house, which was nice because we didn't have to transform it. And then she just asked if you come to the baby shower, maybe bring some diapers and a book for the baby Moreno library. And it was very interesting because I would have assumed that a lot of women that have been to these awful baby showers that drag on and on for 3.5 hours, who have to sit through opening gifts, that they would have welcomed the opening of gifts. And I heard through some back channel conversations, it seemed like a lot of the older women were aghast that my wife would dare to not do a public gift opening. Meantime, a lot of the younger women seemed relieved not to have to sit through the opening of gifts. So anyway, so she had her baby shower yesterday afternoon. I took most of the husbands and whomever else, boyfriends, 7 or 8 fellas to a bar up the block from where the baby shower was. And we had lunch and a couple of drinks. And then I popped in at the baby shower towards the end to load up my brother's car, load up my sister-in-law's car, to thank everybody for coming and see everybody, take a couple of pictures. And boy, I mean, even though a lot of people sent gifts to the house, there were a whole bunch of gifts to carry. And I did this Tunnel to Towers walk yesterday morning, which is, you know, is a little bit of a workout. I'll talk more about that in the a little bit later. But you are lifting and all these heavy gifts and then going up and down the stairs for an hour and a half or so. And it, you do get a little bit of a workout. And, you know, when you get a workout, any kind of a workout, you have your endorphins going and everything, and you get like a buzz of energy. So it's interesting. I tried to take a little bit of a nap before I left for the radio station. I couldn't sleep, even though I hadn't really slept since I woke up yesterday morning, Sunday morning, because I was so filled with these endorphins, because my body thinks that I was working out carrying all this stuff. But a couple of people did send off registry gifts. And so then my wife was panicking about what to do with all this stuff, where we're going to keep it all. I said, it's a nice problem to have. She said, there's too much stuff here. We're going to have to return some of this. This is enough stuff for 10 children. I said, better to have too many than too little, right? And I think she ultimately agreed, but there was a lot of eye rolling and brow furrowing. But appreciate everybody that that came and was kind enough to send a gift. Even a lot of listeners were able to send something from her registry as well. But you always got to be careful with sending an off registry gift. I am curious, especially if you're a woman, do you prefer a shower where they open gifts or where they don't open gifts? Because I'm curious how that plays in your world. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-9222. Talking a little bit about whether or not psychics are for real. Let me say hello to Les in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello, Les.
How are you doing, Mr. Warren?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Les. How are all the New Yorkers that have moved down there?
There's quite a few of them down here.
Yeah, well, give them our best. We miss them.
Yeah. My grandmother's sister was a psychic.
Okay. And, so your great aunt.
She visited us a few years back, and I had my session with her. She told me a lot of things that actually came true.
Well, can you give us an example?
Well, she told me some things that I could do to increase my income and money, and I did them, and I did. I got an increase in money, and she told me when I was going to die and what I was going to die of. I don't talk much about that.
Yeah, that could be kind of morbid. I don't blame you for skipping over that.
All kinds of stuff.
We won't know if that's accurate until it's too late.
And I have something to tell you concerning UFOs, and this has to do with apparitions.
Tell me.
This may be a little bit off the subject, but I hear you talking a lot about UFOs.
Sure, tell me.
There's an area there in New York in Flushing Meadows Park, Flushing, Queens, New York. You probably are familiar with that.
Very much so, yes.
Okay. I don't know if I should name the name of this place or not. Is that a bad thing?
No, you can. Go ahead.
The place is called Our Lady of the Roses. And it's still there. And the lady that was giving the apparitions, her name was Veronica. Now, Veronica has since passed. But they have pictures of the apparitions of the Virgin Mary and Jesus appearing above the trees in that area. And there was one apparition of Mary where she told Veronica to tell NASA to quit spending money on spaceships and rockets to these other planets because there's nothing else out there. There are no other existing beings out there but us. This is it. Now, whether you can believe that or not, that's up to you.
Well, it certainly is interesting to hear, Les. Thank you. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. By the way, I got this email in response to a segment that we did on Friday. Right, during the Ask Frank Anything portion of the show, a fella called in and said that I looked like Albert Brooks in the film Broadcast News. And so maybe that's true, maybe that's not true. And I used the term Jufro to, you know, describe Albert Brooks' hair in that film. And a listener emailed me and said, curly hair is acceptable while not derogatory. Jufro is not a nice term. I don't think it's derogatory any more than afro is. It's a style of hair. I mean, am I right? Or should I stop using that term? If you're Jewish, especially, I'd love to hear from you. 800-848-9222. Commendations coming up. Keep asking questions.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I am Frank Moreno, and we are with you until 5 o'clock this morning, and then you'll get to hear the WABC early news with Juliette Huddy and me. Today actually happens to be Juliette Huddy's birthday, so I didn't get her anything yet. I'm sort of at a loss. I do feel like I should get her something. But then I said, maybe we'll get lunch or something or breakfast one day this week. But, you know, the problem is our schedules are so challenging. So we'll see. If you have any good ideas in terms of something that I should get for her, I don't want to go too crazy in terms of money, but I'd like to get something thoughtful that I think she would like. You can email me at frank.morano@wabcradio.com. And if you want to reach out to her on Twitter or Facebook and wish her a happy birthday, I am sure that she would appreciate that. All right. Each and every week at this time, we give a pat on the back to people that deserve one as part of our weekly foray into
The Other Side of Midnight presents Commendations.
Yes. Let me first do a joint commendation for William Shatner and New Shepard. And they are, so William Shatner is one of the finest actors, directors, authors, singers, personalities who has ever lived. He's, of course, probably best known for playing Captain Kirk on the television series Star Trek. And William Shatner, at 90 years old, is set to go into space next month on Jeff Bezos's Blue Origin rocket ship. This is outstanding. So I am giving a commendation to both Shatner for being willing to do this, and for to Blue Origin for allowing it to happen. And it's going to be filmed for a documentary. And trust me, I watch everything Shatner does, and I will be watching this documentary. I can't wait for it to come out. A commendation for both Shatner and Blue Origin. Well, well deserved as far as I'm concerned, because Shatner has probably inspired so many people who have wanted to go into aviation and to space travel. So to see him actually be able to go into space at 90 years old, no less, I think is just extraordinary. I want to commend Oleksandr Usyk. So I didn't get an invitation to watch this fight anywhere on Saturday, but I would characterize this as a little bit of a surprise. Oleksandr Usyk defeated Anthony Joshua to win the heavyweight champion of the world. So Oleksandr Usyk is the new WBA, WBO, and IBF heavyweight champion of the world. He won in a unanimous decision over Anthony Joshua. So everybody had been talking about Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury. I wonder, maybe now we'll get to see Oleksandr Usyk and Tyson Fury in what could be the match that unifies all the world heavyweight championships. So they've got to do something to reinvigorate boxing in the heavyweight division. Nobody cares about it anymore. And I'm hoping that maybe if they have one of these heavyweight championship fights where the winner is the undisputed champion of the world, maybe people start caring again. Or I don't know. Maybe boxing's time has come and gone because of MMA. I want to give a commendation to Yumino Sumiyama and Koimi Kodama. These two women, at 107 years old, are the world's oldest identical twins. They're Japanese, and they seem to be doing great. On September 1st, they turned 107 years and 300 days old, and in doing so, they broke the record for the world's oldest living identical twins. They also apparently are the oldest identical twins to ever have lived. So this is extraordinary. Congratulations to Sumiyama and Kodama. They've lived through a lot. They've lived through the 1918 influenza pandemic. They've lived through two world wars. And towards the end of the Second World War, Sumiyama had to flee her home as soldiers were building an air raid shelter in the mountain behind it. And these women have seen a whole lot of history. And so I am happy that they're both still alive, and may they live for another 107 years. I want to commend Gabila's Knishes out on Long Island. This company, which is it just marked 100 years of selling Knishes, which are delicious potato stuffed pastries, a little mustard on it. I try not to eat them, you know, because I try to watch my carb intake. But my wife had one of these Knishes yesterday with the mustard on them. It looked and smelled so great. It took every aspect of self-control that I could have to not steal a part of this Knish out of my expectant wife's plate. But I didn't. So Gabila's Knishes out on Long Island, 100 years old. They are you ready for this? Because I didn't know this. They are the world's largest producer of Knishes. They make more Knishes and supply them to more places than any other Knish company in the world. So that's pretty impressive. Gabila's Knishes marking their 100th anniversary, and they are still at the top of their game. I want to give a commendation to Harvard University. Whatever you think of them, they have been named as America's top college by the Wall Street Journal for the fifth straight year. There's a lot of criteria that goes into this, and you know, you may take issue with some of what goes on at Harvard. Harvard is a good school. And I think the fact that the Wall Street Journal is recognizing them as the fifth year in a row as the top college in America is very telling. It's an indication that they're doing something right.
I want to give a posthumous commendation to a former colleague of mine, Chip White. Chip White was a radio salesperson who I worked with at two different radio stations. I worked with him here when I was here 10 years ago. And then when Curtis and I left this radio station to go to 970, Chip basically followed us there. He went to work at 970, and then when Curtis came back here, Chip came back to work here. I've known Chip for about 14 years, maybe more. And he was a good friend, an incredibly nice guy, an incredibly devoted father to his two boys, and the kind of, and was just not only so generous, and when we use that term generous, usually it applies to people being willing to pick up the tab for lunch, which, you know, Chip certainly was from time to time. But Chip was so generous with his time. And, you know, you get the so often we're all busy at work. But you got the sense whenever you interacted with Chip, whether it was for a minute, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, that for that 5 minutes, for that 20 minutes, you were to him the most important person in the world. He had a great sense of humor, was such a nice guy. I remember one December, I don't know if he did this every year, he probably did, but one December it was cold, it was right before the Christmas break. And he went out and bought gloves for all the homeless people that were staying on the street near Madison Square Garden. Nobody asked him to do it. He just went and did it. And that's the kind of guy Chip was. And he was a great salesperson and an even better person. And he passed away last week at the age of 71. And he's really going to be missed, not only by all of us that worked with him and all of us that knew him, but especially by his sons, Morgan and Brendan, and also his sister, Libby, who I know he's very proud of his sons. I would always get a Christmas card, even years after we stopped working together. Just an update about what his sons were up to. So I'm really going to miss him. And I do believe that there is a heaven. And if there is, I guarantee you Chip is up there doing his thing. And he's really going to be missed. So a posthumous commendation to Chip White. I want to give a commendation as well to another guy I'm going to miss, but hopefully not in the same way that I'll miss Chip. Ray Raimondi, who I've had the pleasure of working with these last couple of months, Ray had his last day here at the radio station on Friday, and he was a terrific news anchor, did a lot of things behind the scenes, but at night, and as somebody that works at night, I always found his voice very calming as a news anchor. I always found him very professional as a colleague. I always found him very hardworking and eager. And I'll never forget what we all went through during Hurricane Ida. And Ray stayed here until 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, getting us all the information that we needed, getting the listeners all the information that they needed, even though Ray wasn't really sure how he was going to end up getting home because there was a ban on vehicular traffic. He was a newsman's newsman, and he's left this radio station. He's moving on to some other opportunities, and he is the person that I lent that book to, for those of you that heard that segment, and he's assured me that he's going to use the 2 weeks that he has between ending this job and starting his new job to try and read that book and then get it back to me in short order. So he's going to be missed, and I'm glad that I had the opportunity to work with him here. I want to give a very sincere commendation to everybody that made a contribution to the Stephen Siller Tunnel to Towers Foundation. I raised, and I'm very proud of this, I raised more money than any of the other WABC talk show hosts, and it was great to walk with all of them yesterday. Sid Rosenberg, Juliette Huddy, Dominic Carter, Greg Kelly, and our salesperson, Leslie Slender. It was great to see everybody out there, as well as some of the fans as well. But it was very, very generous of everybody that donated, and several people gave extravagant donations, none more so than a listener by the name of Kevin Monahan, who made a $1,500 contribution, which was extraordinary. And I can't think of a more worthy cause than the Stephen Siller Tunnel to Towers Foundation. They do God's work. They do wonderful work in terms of helping the families of servicemen who die in the line of duty, in terms of helping servicemen who end up becoming disabled, in terms of helping people that need a little help. And they get their money where it needs to go. And it's been really a pleasure watching this charity grow from basically something that was informal in a building on Staten Island someplace to something that is now genuinely a worldwide organization that does extraordinary work. So I was honored to be a part of that walk today. I'll talk about it a little later. I was honored to be a part of that walk, but I want to give a sincere commendation to everybody that donated, whether you donated $10 or whether you donated $1,500. And then finally, penultimately, I want to give a commendation to Lois Smith. Last night was the Tony Awards. And Lois Smith, at the age of 90, yesterday, became the oldest person to ever win a Tony Award. She is a 90-year-old character actor who has worked on Broadway stages since the 1950s. She's appeared in a number of films over the years. She captured her first Tony Award last night, and in doing so, became the oldest performer ever to win a trophy at the Tonys. So she won for playing a caretaker for men in The Inheritance, which is an exploration of contemporary gay culture. I'm not familiar with the show. I don't know anything about it. But this lady seems like a really nice lady, certainly a very talented actress. And the fact that she's still doing her thing at 90, I think, is great. And we're going to talk a little bit about aging and being a senior citizen a little bit later on, and what age is too old to do something, if there is such an age. We'll get into that in a little bit. And then finally, I want to give a commendation to my wife, Rachel. I know I gave her a commendation 2 weeks ago, but tomorrow marks our 2-year anniversary. And I will tell you, there are fewer people who are difficult, more difficult to be married to than me. Right. The hours alone are very, very trying on a marriage. The constant drumbeat of eccentric visitors that just show up at our house at any given moment. And she is always seemingly ready to entertain at a moment's notice. And the life dramas, I mean, you hear about the kind of things that I go through on a daily basis. And she's with me every step of the way and so supportive. And I couldn't ask for a better wife, certainly not a more patient wife than the one that I have. So I want to wish my wife, Rachel, a happy anniversary and give her a commendation as well. All right. If there's anybody that you want to comment on in terms of my commendation list, you're welcome to give me a call, 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. We have a whole lot more coming your way, including the fact that Chuck Grassley announced at the age of 88 that he's going to be running for a new 6-year term next year. What do you think about that? Too much? Or good for him? We'll explore it and a bunch of other things coming up in just a bit. 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust.
the chemicals.
Imagine Dragons, this is the other side of midnight. I'm Frank Morano. And I am taking your calls at 800-848-9222. So earlier in the show, I mentioned how I got an email from somebody that didn't care for my use of the term Jufro. And I got another email, and I'm wondering if I should stop saying that. Is that offensive? I don't, again, I'm not Jewish, but I do have that kind of hair. I don't think it is, any more than Afro is. It's a style of hair. And I got an email here from a listener who writes, I'm very sensitive to any hint of anti-Semitism, and the term Jufro doesn't bother me at all. And then this person also writes, as far as the shower goes, I wouldn't mind opening gifts. I think I'd like it if there were about 15 or fewer at the shower, but it would get tedious or tedient if it were to go on and on and on. Well, that's the thing. I think there were 50 people at this shower. So it was not going to be 15 or fewer. It's going to be a big production. So I think Rachel absolutely made the right decision by skipping the gift opening portion. And I think everybody would be better off doing that personally. 800-848-9222. The original Rick in New Jersey. Hello.
Yeah, good morning.
Nice. Morning.
This has to do a little bit with what you were just talking about, with people deciding whether something is politically correct or, you know, you don't think it is. But I just saw something on the news, and I realized it wasn't just my company. Apparently, this is happening. 2 days before the pandemic, I almost lost my job of 16 years. In fact, the pandemic was kind of like it saved my job. They had more things to worry about. I almost got fired for saying the word picnic.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Let me tell you what's going on. I was sitting down, taking my food out of my backpack at the, you know, the lunch table, and I did my Yogi Bear routine. You know, hey, boo-boo, going to have a bigger picnic. Because, you know, Yogi Bear had an Italian accent. And someone says, you can't say that. I said, say what? He goes, picnic. It's racist. I go, what are you talking about? You know, I thought he was just an idiot. 2 hours later, I get called to human resources. You got to come up to the office. And they're saying, well, you know, the only reason that we're not letting you go is because you've been here 16 years, but you've got to stop this racist rhetoric. And I go, what are you talking about? The word picnic, it means you want to kill a black man. I go, what? And I looked it up. It comes from a French word that says to pick food. You know, there's thousands of signs all over America saying picnic area this way. I'm sure they're not pointing out areas to kill black people. You know, Yogi Bear wasn't a racist. He was a bear of color himself. I couldn't believe what was going on. But now I just saw on TV, Brandeis University says the word picnic.
I saw that. Yeah, I talked about that a couple of months ago. It's crazy. It's crazy. And I applaud you for using the term picnic and not letting the politically correct mafia in the country take that away from you.
Well, here's the deal. I said it's not racist. And they said it doesn't matter if it's not racist. It makes people feel uncomfortable. So if you say it again, you're fired. And that's the rub. It's like, it's not even if it's wrong or right. If it makes somebody uncomfortable, now you can't say it.
Well, I don't buy that at all. And I think the more people that play into that, the worse society is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think.
I don't know what I can say anymore. I'm going to go to work, back to work like a mute, you know?
Yeah. No, believe me. Try and be on the radio there's an ever increasing number of words that are no longer appropriate for me to say, Rick, even though I'm not trying to insult anybody.
No, I know that. I know. That's why when you said the Jufro, you weren't being it. You were just, you know, all of a sudden now it's not right because it makes someone feel uncomfortable. It doesn't make me feel uncomfortable.
Are you Jewish?
No.
Well, okay, but maybe you're not the best barometer of discomfortable.
But my point is that it makes things that just because it makes you feel uncomfortable doesn't mean I can't say it.
Right. Right. Again, thank you for the call, Rick. And what Rick says is 100% right as far as I'm concerned. If you go out of your way to insult someone and you call them an ethnic slur, whatever that ethnicity is, Italian, Asian, black, Jewish, whatever that happens to be, then that's really wrong. And you, of course, shouldn't do that. And you deserve to be
publicly scorned. But if you're going to use a term that some people find offensive and you don't mean it to insult someone, I think that's a totally different ball game. Totally different ball game. Molly, are you Jewish?
No, why does everybody think that?
Well, I don't know. I was asking. I wasn't accusing you. You know, I was asking.
I mean, I honestly think it might just be the curly hair, like you, where I get the question a lot.
Yeah, a lot of people think I'm Jewish.
I get the question a lot if I'm Jewish, and it's I think it might be because of the curly hair, but
well, maybe because people thought you were taking off Friday for Sukkot. So
no, I am very.
You're a Gentile.
Yeah. we'll put it that way.
Fair enough. 800-848-9222. Charles is in Bay Ridge. Hello, Charles.
How you doing? I enjoy your show. You got a great show. Star Trek was my favorite all-time TV show, and Star Wars was my favorite all-time movie. As far as the psychic thing goes, I think most people have psychic ability and don't realize it, and they underestimate their ability to trust their intuition. I used to experiment with psychic stuff because I worked for a limousine company, and I'd have a client in a car, and I used to telepathically communicate that I would get a certain extra $50 on top of the 20% TOB. Didn't always work. It usually didn't work, but it worked much more frequently than you would imagine. Once I communicated the $50, got to the airport. He hands me $50, and I said, "Wow, this is great. It's working again." He says, "Could I have change?" another time, I drove a guy who was in New York because he had cancer. He was at Memorial Sloan Kettering, going to Memorial Sloan Kettering. And I had initially communicated that he'd give me $50 extra. And then when I found out he had cancer, I felt really bad about it. And he hands me $50 extra at the end of the trip. And I said, "Sir, I can't take this." And I told him why. I said, "I feel like I was manipulating you, and it's not. He says, "No, I want you to have it anyway. Just remember that in order to receive, you need to give." And that's the last time I did it because I realized it was wrong. In a way, it was like stealing in a sense.
No, I don't agree with you, Charles, and I appreciate you sharing that. And I think what you're talking about, and thank you for the call, what you're talking about is a little bit different than what we were talking about earlier with psychics. I really do believe, and this is not shtick, this is not hyperbole, I really do believe, and I was just telling my wife this the other day, that your thoughts and your energy, you can attract what you think. And if you read Norman Vincent Peale's book, The Power of Positive Thinking, there's so much to be said for positive thoughts. And sometimes they call it the law of attraction. I know Oprah did her thing where she would call it the secret. Napoleon Hill wrote about this about 90 years ago in a book called Think and Grow Rich. I really do think that when you're thinking of things and you visual, O'Reilly was talking about this the other day on his show. O'Reilly was saying how what he does every night before he goes to bed is he takes 5 minutes to visualize things going well the next day, professionally, personally, and a lot of the time it does. Sometimes it doesn't, but a lot of time it does. I really do. I am. And those two books I find essential reading, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill and The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. And I find that both of those books really will change the way you think about things. And I think they will bring you, if you're thinking, if you need personal help or financial help, I think if you think it, it's much more likely to come. I don't think it's a form of stealing, as Charles said. I don't. I think you get
from the universe what you put into it and what you put out there. I don't think it's psychic stuff. Psychic is being able to predict the future. That's, to me, the difference. Charles isn't predicting the future. Charles was using positive visual, positive mental imaging, positive visualization. And then those visualizations were coming to fruition. And I told you about that documentary that I saw recently, Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond, all about Jim Carrey playing Andy Kaufman. And one thing, and I'd read this before, but it's in the documentary. One thing that Jim Carrey did when he was a struggling young actor and comic and was eager to make it big is he wrote himself a check for $10 million. Well, he didn't have $10 million. He wrote himself a check for $10 million for acting services rendered. And within 3 years, he found himself making $10 million. That exact amount of money within 3 years of writing that check. And then shortly thereafter, his father passed away and he buried that check with his father. But Jim Carrey used that same technique of positive visualization and willing that into reality. Athletes do this all the time. I do it. And I mean, again, I haven't tried with $10 million, but who knows? Maybe I will in the future. 800-848-9222. All right. Hey, I wanted to bring this to your attention. Chuck Grassley is a senator from Iowa. He's led a distinguished career in the United States Senate. He is the oldest serving Republican in the U.S. Senate, and he announced on Friday that he will seek another 6-year term to represent the state of Iowa. So he made the announcement in a 5 a.m. tweet on Friday morning. He still exercises regularly, still seems pretty sharp. But if he's successful in winning, he will serve until the age of 95 years old. I am a believer in term limits. I think you should be able to serve 2 consecutive terms in the U.S. Senate. And that's it. And then maybe you could come back. Maybe you can come back after a little bit of a break. I am not for these senators like Pat Leahy, Dianne Feinstein, Chuck Grassley, who stay there 20, 30, 40 years, because I think for a host of reasons. But let's just talk about age. And I want you to forget about Chuck Grassley's politics. Forget about the fact that he's a Republican, because this could just as well apply to Dianne Feinstein, who's currently 87 or 88, and she was just reelected to the U.S. Senate. These are both people, one Democrat, one Republican, who, unless they pass away, they will be serving into their 90s. Now, I've never been 88. I hope to be one day. But I've had a lot of friends that have been 88, and I've had some family members that have been 88. And the truth of the matter is, for the overwhelming majority of people that I've encountered over the years, they are not nearly as sharp at 88 years old as they were at 50 years old or 60 years old. It's just there is some decline, not just physically, but in many cases mentally. So I want to ask you the question at 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. How old is too old to run for office? And let's extrapolate that to how old is too old to do anything professionally. I recognize that everybody is different and that some people can function at 100 better than other people can function at 70. And there's no one size fits all rule. But we have seen time and again instances of people either serving on the Supreme Court or in the U.S. Senate, Strom Thurmond comes to mind, that they were in office well past the time that they should have been. So my question for you as a voter is, how do you take that into consideration? Now, at times, I see these stories of someone older getting elected, and I find it to be very inspirational. 3 years ago in New Jersey, there was a 93-year-old World War II veteran who was elected as a mayor in New Jersey in a community called Tinton Falls. Now, I thought that was great. He was elected for the first time at 93 years old. To me, that's a little bit different than either the Chuck Grassley or the Dianne Feinstein situation, because Vito Perillo was somebody who was remaining mentally active, sharp, well into his life and running for the office for the first time. It seems to me that a lot of these other senators, Leahy, Feinstein, Grassley, they're just sort of coasting. They're getting elected and reelected more based on their reputation and their past accomplishments more than what they've done in the past. So I'm just curious how you think this all plays out. And we've all heard stories of older people who, once they stop working, they start losing it. And part of the reason that they keep working, and this is how I plan to be, I'm going to work until I die. Part of the reason they keep working is because the work keeps them sharp. But I guess my question is, not only how do you react as a voter to somebody like Chuck Grassley or Pat Leahy or Dianne Feinstein, but how do you know when you're too old to cut the mustard? Let's say that. I've seen it in radio. We've all seen it in sports, right? Look, you saw Evander Holyfield get essentially embarrassed in that fight against the MMA guy a couple of weeks ago. And what did Donald Trump say in that commentary? He said, what you saw today, that was not Evander. That's what he said. And it's true. Evander Holyfield at 58 was not. Muhammad Ali, another good example. When Muhammad Ali fought Larry Holmes, he had one other fight after Larry Holmes. And the sin of it is that it wasn't that he couldn't still box. He could. But when he was fighting Larry Holmes and Trevor Burbick, it was the sin of it was he was no longer the great Muhammad Ali. I've seen it with lawyers who stay in, trial lawyers, a little bit past their prime. I've seen it with radio people. And, you know, they were both very good friends of mine. But there's no doubt in my mind that both Bob Grant and Barry Farber stayed on the radio far longer than they should have. And in Barry's case especially, his voice sounded so different than the Barry Farber that I grew up with that, to me, I almost felt it was a shame that people would be hearing that and thinking that's what Barry Farber sounded like, because it wasn't. And Bob, to a lesser extent, the same thing was true. So my question for you is, and again, I have a lot of friends who are older, and I'm a big believer in having seniors and octogenarians and people in their 90s and beyond remain active in all sorts of aspects of life. But one, as a voter, do you have any hesitance in voting for an 88-year-old for a 6-year term? Two, at what point in whatever career you're leading, is it time to just hang them up? 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to Ted in Forest Hills. Hello, Ted.
Hi, always my pleasure. You're a terrific broadcaster.
Oh, thank you, Ted.
No, for real.
Thank you.
United Airlines threw me out as a master pilot, a captain at 65.
65?
But at 65, I got the drop kick to the goalposts of retirement. Now I work for aerospace. I'm a weapons researcher. But I'm here at Forest Hills for the leg operation. But you see, on this issue, they don't ask, are you great at 67? Nope, it's 65, and that's it.
Well, so what would be a better system? Is it to have people maybe undergo a competency test after the age of 65 to make sure they're still sharp?
Well, you know, the big airlines have 10,000 pilots. It's even now it's hard for me to believe, but maybe they think they can't judge everybody. So they made a cutoff date. They raised it to 5 years from 60 to 65, but maybe they just don't believe they can, you know, review everybody.
Interesting. Well, thank you, Ted. 800-848-WABC. It's interesting that Ted brings that up because he makes me think of what we have here in New York, and I think Jersey has something similar, of a mandatory judicial retirement age. Judges in New York state judges have to retire at the age of 70. Now, if you get if you're a state Supreme Court justice, you can get 3 2-year extensions by the governor and serve till 76. So you can essentially serve till 76. And that 70-year-old retirement age has forced so many good judges who were still sharp off the bench. So I don't know what the happy medium is. And that's, I guess, what I'm trying to figure out with you. How do you keep guys like Ted, who as pilots are still sharp and capable at 66 years old, and judges like Phil Stranieri and others, Bob Giganti, who are still sharp at 71 years old, how do you keep those guys still contributing and working, whereas you don't end up with somebody like Strom Thurmond, who doesn't know where he is? Even Thurgood Marshall, when he was on the Supreme Court towards the end, I think his clerks acknowledge this. He was not making his own decisions. I think he was well past the time he should have been on the court. And not just him, many others. What's the balance? What's the happy medium? And look, Chuck Grassley is not going to listen to me anyway. He seems to be determined to run for office. But at some point, should you just hang it up at 88? Should you call it a career? I know a lot of the Republicans in Iowa are thrilled because they weren't sure they could keep that seat. Whereas Grassley, even at 88, is probably a favorite to win it. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Melvin is in the Broogie Down Bronx. Hello, Melvin.
Greetings. Yes. What do you go to school for? Because that is a mathematical equation. Nothing plus nothing equals nothing. So what are you going to learn from those who have never been where you attempt to go? You go to school for one reason only, to learn the lessons of the past, to minimize mistakes in the future. For those who get the lessons of the past are doomed to make the same mistakes you are in the future. So you learn for those who've been there before. So those who are sitting out there are trying to pass on to you what they have learned for. And because it's one thing to know better, do better. It's another thing you're willing to learn to know to do better what you know, so you will know. So all we're talking about is one issue here. Improvement of the quality of life. And those who refuse to learn to improve the quality of life are going to keep on making the same mistakes over and over again, which is the definition of insanity. Yes, I agree, but it's up to each individual which way they want to go. I go by the school, Arthur Rush Jr., who was the host on radio station.
Yeah, I used to listen to him.
Because we can agree to disagree without being disagreeable. Because it's all about one issue, one is to improve the quality of life. Because you learn from those who've been there where you attempt to go to. And you refuse to learn from that. Well, all you're talking about is maintaining the status quo, which is what the fascism of the Confederacy of the Confederacy.
All right, well, Melvin, I knew you were going to find some way to bring this to the Confederacy. This has nothing to do with the Confederacy at all. I mean, we're talking about the age of public figures and the age of people in general. And how do you know when it's time to retire? How do you know when it's time to hang them up? 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. George is in Apollo, Pennsylvania. Good morning, George.
Yeah, good morning. You wanted to talk to an 85-year-old guy that thinks he's still moving around pretty good. And I thought, if you had a question for me, I was a judge of elections up into my 80s. And currently I'm interested in, like, for instance, resident frequency to sterilize for COVID, as an example. I'm in my 80s. If I can get it going, you see. Things like that. And, also eating habits, such as supposedly science says that even though I'm 85, I'm only halfway through life because I can live to 162. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, I certainly hope that you do, George. So needless to say, you think, a senator running for a 6-year term at 88 or 89, that's just fine.
I'm only halfway through life. That means I could live to 162. Do you understand what it feels like when you're 85 and you know you can live to 162? And if you keep your health going, detoxify yourself of the poisons and so on. Yes, if you're sharp, knowing your constitution isn't that complicated to know when you're off base and not following the rules of the game. It doesn't matter about the age. It's just that if you're sharp enough to, weigh and make a decision.
So now some of the people that I've referenced, athletes, radio people, lawyers, I am sure when they were still working past what I consider to be their prime, I'm sure they all still thought that they were sharp enough to function competently and effectively when the truth is they weren't. How do you know when you reach that point?
Well, the thing is that sometimes you have to have knowledge as to whether you can do a job, or, for instance, calling up on a roof is not exactly smart when you get older. But a lot of mind stuff, you're sharp for that. Particularly positions of thinking and analyzing. You don't get too hurt, but you're sharp and you can make decisions.
Well, God bless you, George. I hope you do make it at least to 162, and I hope you keep listening, keep calling. 800-848-9222. If you want to comment, 1-800-848-WABC. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
Look at my life, I'm a lot like you were. Oh man, look at my life, I'm a lot like you were. Oh man, look at my life, 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think.
The great Neil Young singing Old Man. Neil Young now, 75 years of age. Pretty soon he's going to have to change his name to Neil Old. He is a gifted singer. Thank you. 800-848-WABC. Talking age, specifically in the workplace, specifically in fields that are in the public eye, athletics, politics, show business, radio, 800-848-9222. Chuck Grassley announced he's running for U.S. Senate next year at the age of 88. Is it time to get off the stage and maybe let a younger man take his spot? 800-848-WABC. Neil is on Staten Island. Hello, Neil.
You know when somebody can retire, Frank, is when they do their job and it's really useless, where they can't disseminate information to anybody else anymore. And I've been listening to you for like 10, 12 years, Frank. And when you said the topic, the first thing that came to my mind was Philip Stranieri. And right away, you mentioned Philip Stineri. I mean, I know what you're going to say already, Frank. I think he could retire right now.
I don't think I have the means to retire right now, Neil. Hopefully, I've got a couple of good years left in me.
I would hope so, Frank. I don't know what's going to be the next 10 years, Frank. I mean, I might have to move in with you. I'm going to know you so well.
Well, I'll let you negotiate that with Rachel, Neil.
Right. I think that with this age thing, there's got to be a cutoff for some reason. There's a cutoff for the judiciary. There's a cutoff for Congress.
Well, there's a cutoff for state judges. There's no cutoff for federal judges. Well, you know, Judge Jack Weinstein was serving as an active judge until his 90s.
Well, that's true. That's true. I guess it depends the field. I mean, there is a cutoff for pilots, right? They won't let you fly if you're 92 years old. They must think there's some sort of safety issue to it. I don't know. I knew a guy who was the head of maintenance at Fort Wadsworth. This guy was, I think he was 86. And I kept saying to him, Al, why don't you retire? Why don't you retire? Why don't you let a younger guy have the job already? I mean, you worked enough. And he said, yeah. He says, I got to come to work. He says, I like coming to work. I like it. So he retires, and 2 years later, he dies. So, I mean, what was the purpose of...
Well, exactly. It's funny, and thanks for the call, Neil. John Catsimatidis used to tell a story about how he hired his father, and I may have some of the ages wrong, and if John is listening, please email me and correct me. He hired his father, I think at 80, and his father worked for him in a grocery store for 10 years, and then at 90, he got married and retired. And then he just enjoyed married life for another few years. And again, I may have some of the ages wrong, but not that much wrong. So, and John, please email me if you're still listening. All right. We had a great day yesterday at the, Tunnel to Towers Stephen Siller run. Thank you to everybody that came out there. Thank you to everybody that donated. It was a lot of fun. I ended up walking because I walked mostly with some of the WABC colleagues. We got separated. I don't know what happened. Juliet and I got separated from Sid and Greg Kelly. And it's funny, Dominic, there was thousands of people at this thing. And Dominic ended up going to the restroom and he got separated from us and everybody else wanted to go. And I said, I was the only one that said, let's wait for Dominic. And I said, no, let's get started. And then we never hooked up with Dominic. So I don't know what became of Dominic. I'm assuming he made the whole 5K. He was on the radio at 3 p.m. Sounded great. A very emotional race. First of all, it's very surreal to walk through the tunnel. It goes through the Hugh L. Carey Tunnel. And it looks so much smaller when you're walking through it than when you're driving through it. But you see these firefighters running in their full firefighter gear. It's incredible. The patriotic music playing through the tunnel. Some guys carrying American flags. It's really very emotional. And then once you get through the tunnel, you see them holding banners of firefighters and police officers that died in September 11th. It is the most emotional thing in the world. I had a friend who was a firefighter who died in the World Trade Center, and seeing his picture on a banner, it's just very, very moving. So if you haven't tried it, I would definitely suggest you try it next year at least once. It's a great charity. It's a great cause, and I was glad to be a part of it and glad to meet so many of you. All right. Until next hour, your influence counts, so use it.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Everybody, this is The Other Side of Midnight. As we stand here now, it is September 27th. Yesterday was September 26th. Do you know what I saw yesterday on my block? I saw the house across the street from us putting together, fully decked out in full regalia, all of their Halloween decorations. And I, and this is a house that goes all out. There's fake spider webs. There's a witch that makes noise. There's all sorts of stuff. The house across the street from us is now fully decked out for Halloween. The house down the block from us, same thing. My wife and I went for a walk on Thursday. Sure enough, we come before another house that was in the midst of putting up all of their Halloween decorations. Now, as it stands now, it is more than a month before Halloween. My question for you is it too early to put up your Halloween decorations? 800-848-9222. If you say no, it's not too early, what would be too early? Would September 1st be too early? Would August 15th be too early? So if you say no, I want you to be prepared to answer that follow-up question. When would be too early? And I want to extend the discussion even beyond Halloween. In Christmas, for instance, when is too early to put up Christmas decorations? I'll tell you what my rule of thumb is, and I'm not much of a exterior decoration guy. I actually, for many reasons, largely prefer apartment living. I like living in apartments where, you know, you don't really have to worry about exterior decorations. But if you have a house, when do you decorate for the holiday? How far in advance? My rule is 30 days. 30 days, that's what you get. And then another 2 weeks after the holiday, maybe, maybe. Because these people who are putting up their decorations 2 months before Christmas, it's too much. And then you keep it up a month after Christmas, it's too much. 800-848-WABC. How long before a holiday do you put decorations up? That's the question.
A question. Since before your sun burned hot in space and before your race was born, I have awaited a question.
800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. We are going to do the $1,000 minute coming up at 4:30, in which we'll give you an opportunity to answer 10 questions within a minute. And if you do so, you're able to win $1,000. If you get a question incorrect, then the game stops and you lose. We had a fella on Friday who was actually pretty close. He made it to question six. He was doing really well. I actually thought he was going to potentially win, but I'm glad we're seeing people make it farther and farther into the game. I'm sure management gets a little nervous about that. They don't want to be giving away $1,000 every day, but I'm glad we're seeing people make it farther and farther. But how early is too early for holiday decorations? 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Whatever the holiday is, how early is too early? I think 30 days is a good window. 30 days on the front end and then 14 days on the back end. I think you should be able to leave your Christmas decorations up till 2 weeks after Christmas. That's my view. Same with any other holiday. Anything beyond that, you're pushing it. What do you think? 800-848-WABC. I don't know what we're doing in terms of exterior Halloween decorations. Inside the house, Rachel has put up some fall-themed things. There are some pumpkins. There are some other things. But it's really more seasonal than it is holiday-specific. So I don't know what we're going to end up doing. I think it's probably going to be pretty minimal, given the fact that so much of our time and attention has been focused on getting ready for the baby. We have the baby's room, what will be the baby's room. It's overflowing with things that people have sent us. I think I may have to put together the crib this week just to create some room in there, because there's just boxes and boxes and boxes all over the place. 800-848-WABC. David is in Yonkers. Hello, David.
Yeah, I definitely think people should retire at an earlier age, because I believe the brain lies to you. You know, it'll tell you you're able to do the job when you're really not. And in the case of these politicians, Grassley, Feinstein, it's the people around them, the people that work for them, that are propping them up and pushing them to keep going.
So, yeah, David, I tend to agree with you. I tend to agree with you. I think that if you look at Grassley, Feinstein, Leahy, even compared to only 5 or 6 years ago, there are some serious signs that they're not the kind of senator they were even 5 or 6 years ago. And I think you're right. I think the people around them, not only their staff, but some of the people in their parties, they want to maintain the levers of power, and I think that's unfortunate. You saw the same thing with Frank Lautenberg in Jersey. Thank you, David. 800-848-WABC. Peter is in Queens. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Frank. How are you?
Good.
Good. The topic you brought up, it really hit me because it affects my spouse's wife. What the problem with this you're talking about is, like, right now, I'm having a problem with my wife and losing her ability to think for herself, and the children turned out against her. And unfortunately, she filled out a health proxy, and now I've lost my wife completely because they're using the health proxy against my wife and myself. So when you determine your age, they got to be very careful. And the reason I'm also calling you is you had on a program a few months ago about the healthcare proxy and how to be careful of it. And the woman was very, very articulate about it.
Right, right. Karen Turr, yes.
Yeah. I'm trying to contact her. Could I email you or give my email address over the phone? It's not allowed, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
You
can email me. My email is frank.morano@wabcradio.com. I'll put you on hold, and Molly will give it to you again. But, I'll be happy to try and put you in touch with Karen Turk. 800-848-WABC. Pedro is in the Boogie Down Bronx. Hello, Pedro.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Yes. My personal belief is someone should recognize when it's time to hang up the gloves. All right. You got to take that into consideration in your life. You know, somebody tells you, look, you're not acting rational. You're not saying the right things. But when it comes to the point of making a judicial choice, that makes it interesting. You know, if you're an 88-year-old judge as opposed to a 77-year-old judge, your thinking, your logic, and so on and so forth is going to be a hell of a lot different.
Well, also, I wonder if at 88 you're able to really be in touch with some of the facts in the cases that you're deciding. I mean, would an 88-year-old judge be up on laws and experiences related to, say, e-commerce as well as a 50-year-old judge, right? If there's laws or if there's cases involving something like Facebook privacy, can an 88-year-old appreciate the nuances of that case as well as a 50-year-old that might be using something like Facebook more often? I don't have the answer to that, Pedro. I just have questions. 800-848-9222. Still eager, by the way, to know
when is too soon to put up Halloween decorations or Christmas decorations? 800-848-9222, seven open lines on that subject if you want to jump on board. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Ralph is in New Jersey. Hello, Ralph.
Well, you know, the question becomes how old is too old, okay? Because we're still keeping Joseph Biden around. And as I have made the case that this man should be in a nursing home, a geriatric care. He's a dimwad, not only in the global stage, but in the amongst us here in this country. We consider him a useless individual. I think Sam Katsuma did this over him. Anytime.
Yeah, he is already, and thank you, Ralph, he is already the oldest president that we've ever had. And you know who the oldest president before that was? Donald Trump. And if Trump runs again in 2024, as Joe Rogan has predicted he would, and Joe Rogan predicted he would win, Trump would then break Biden's record, potentially, as the oldest president that we've ever had. All right. At 4:14, it is time for
The Other Side of Midnight presents This is Frank's Four, the stories that leave you wanting more.
Today is a big day here in New York. New York is declaring a state of emergency due to today's COVID vaccine mandate. All hospital and nursing home workers risk losing their jobs if they don't have at least one shot. This is expected to create staffing shortages, but Governor Kathy Hochul says the declaration will allow the National Guard and out-of-state medical workers to fill in. As for teachers in the city, a court ruling blocked schools from enforcing that mandate for now. You can bet there's going to be some other news on that front in the future. Well, I was telling you about my experience at the Tunnel to Towers race yesterday. I was far from the only one. There were about 30,000 people participating in the Tunnel to Towers race yesterday. They all hit the streets to retrace the final steps of firefighter Stephen Siller, who died on September 11th. He raced through the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel to get to the Twin Towers carrying 60 pounds of gear on his back. The event was canceled last year due to the pandemic. It came 2 weeks after the nation paid tribute to all the victims on the 20th anniversary of those terrorist attacks. This is a fascinating story, and we may do a whole thing on this tomorrow, but I want to mention it because I'm betting a lot of you haven't heard about this yet. In 2017, as Julian Assange began his fifth year hold up in Ecuador's embassy in London, the CIA plotted to kidnap the WikiLeaks founder, spurring heated debate among the Trump administration officials over the legality and practicality of such an operation. Listen to this. Some senior officials inside the CIA and the Trump administration even discussed killing Assange, going so far as to request sketches or options for how to assassinate him. This is your government, CIA. Discussions over kidnapping or killing Assange occurred at the highest levels of the Trump administration, said a former senior counterintelligence official. There seemed to be no boundaries. These conversations were part of an unprecedented CIA campaign directed against WikiLeaks and its founder. The agency's multi-pronged plans also included extensive spying on WikiLeaks associates, sowing discord among the group's members and stealing their electronic devices. This is outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. Donald Trump should have pardoned Julian Assange before he left office. I think it's a real shame that he hasn't, or that he didn't. And if Trump gets elected again the next time, I hope he does in the future. And finally, speaking of the Trump world, our colleague Rudy Giuliani has apparently been banned from Fox News for almost the last 3 months. See, I knew something was up because he was not on any of the Fox News shows on September 11th. not on Hannity, not – oh, well, it was a Saturday. He wouldn't have been on Hannity. But he was not on any of the Fox News shows. And can you imagine not having Rudy Giuliani on television, not inviting him on September 11th? He was expected to – he was slated to appear on Fox and Friends to mark the 20th anniversary. But the night before, the host, Pete Hegseth, called Giuliani to say he'd been cut from the show, and he apologized. The ban extends not just to Giuliani, but also to his son Andrew, who has not been on Fox News since he launched his campaign for governor in May. I want to say both Rudy Giuliani, who you can hear every afternoon at 3 p.m. on this station, and his son Andrew, they've both been guests on this show, and they're welcome anytime. But bookers for Fox have told both Giulianis the ban comes from the top. So prior to this ban, the former New York City mayor had been a fixture on the network. And I guess this has something to do with Dominion, because Dominion Voting Systems has separately sued Giuliani and Fox News for allegedly defaming the company with false election claims. In the case of Fox, they're alleging in this lawsuit that by allowing guests like Giuliani to make the claims on its network, Fox is liable. So Fox News has filed to dismiss the suit, arguing that Dominion failed to show the network acted in malice. So that's what this is all about. It's all about this lawsuit. And, you know, I don't think it's an accident that Fox News didn't carry Trump's rally on Saturday. Because Trump went on and on at this Georgia rally all about voter fraud, voter fraud, voter fraud. And Fox, I don't think, wants that on their air. Newsmax put it on. So it's interesting. I'm going to play you some audio of Rudy Giuliani on with Steve Bannon talking about this on Friday in just a minute. But first, let me say hello to Joe in Ronkonkoma, weighing in on the Great Decoration debate. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Frank. Another great show. I agree with you 100%. I usually put my Halloween decorations up the week before Columbus Day. Then right after Halloween, I put my blow-up turkey thing on my front lawn. And then right after Thanksgiving, that we have a tradition in my family that we put up all the Christmas decorations the weekend after Thanksgiving. So we get it, you know, get it all up before it gets too cold. But I believe a 30-day window is plenty enough. We have a lot of neighbors that keep them up, like you're talking about, for 2 months. And it makes the neighborhood look trashy after a while.
Exactly. Exactly, Joel. I am with you 100%. It looks, yeah, that trashy is the right word. That's exactly the word.
You have a great night, Frank, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. 800-848-WABC. Just going back to the Giuliani front, and I'm sure the mayor will have a great deal more to say about it this afternoon. I didn't get to hear any of his show yesterday. I don't know if he was on yesterday because of the Scylla run. He's usually at the Scylla run. I didn't see him there, so I don't know if he was on yesterday. I imagine I would have heard if he wasn't, but you know, maybe he commented on it yesterday if he was on. But I didn't get to hear it because I was, you know, doing my thing at the walking through the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. Rudy Giuliani was on with Steve Bannon on Friday, and he talked about this alleged ban from Fox News. This is Steve Bannon and Rudy Giuliani on Bannon's podcast, which is called War Room.
Rudy, how can Fox News put you on double secret probation, particularly over 9/11, and also include your son, who I think is running for the governorship in New York?
Yes,
how does that work?
I mean, there'd be no reason to include Andrew. But in any, I mean, gee, they do a pretty good separation between Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. Gosh, you know, it's outrageous. But the fact is that every single thing that I said about Arizona is right here. Except I have more. I can get this number up to about 150,000.
I realize that we live in a very litigious society now, and everyone's afraid of lawsuits. But for a major news organization to prohibit which is what it sounds like is happening here, an important figure in American history for the last 30 years, for them to, and somebody that's still very relevant in the news, for them to prohibit that person from being interviewed, it's outrageous. It's outrageous. What would the, I get where they're coming from in not wanting to give life to these election fraud conspiracy theories. Because, again, if they have guests all day long repeating things that aren't true, it puts them in a legally precarious situation. But what would be wrong if Giuliani went on one of the shows, Hannity, for instance, and he said, well, look, you know, I was right about Arizona. In Maricopa County, they're not doing the right thing in terms of counting votes. And then the host of the show puts up, says, by the way, Fox News can't confirm Mr. Giuliani's comments, and you welcome somebody else from the other side to give an opposing view. What would be the problem with that? What's wrong with giving voice to all perspectives? That's what I try and do on this show. Whether we're talking aliens or assassinations or election fraud or political issues, I try to give voice to everything. So I'm really find that pretty low rent on the part of Fox News. And the truth is, when Giuliani was mayor, he's part of the reason that Fox News blew up so big. Because he made it, at the time in New York, Time Warner had a monopoly on all the cable systems in New York. And Giuliani made it so that Time Warner had to offer Fox News. Had he not done that, I don't know that you would have ever seen Fox News blow up to what it was, if it wasn't even carried in New York. So 800-848-WABC, that's 1-800-848-9222. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to offer you an opportunity to win $1,000 as part of the $1,000 Minute. If you are the seventh caller right now to 1-800-848-9222, that's 1-800-848-WABC, you will get the opportunity to answer 10 questions in 60 seconds. And if you answer 10 questions correctly in 60 seconds or less, you will earn $1,000. However, if you get a question incorrect or you let your time run out, then you won't win. Now's the time if you want to jump on board. Seventh caller to 1-800-848-9222. We will do the $1,000 Minute straight ahead.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. My monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise...
Now, is it too early for Halloween music? I'll tell you, if you look at what radio stations do around the country for Christmas music, every year it seems that they play the Christmas music earlier and earlier. Pretty soon they're going to start playing Christmas music in March. And you'll... I am... If you want to be a brilliant radio consultant... Go to an FM station and say, hey, here's my idea. Here's my billion-dollar idea. And this will get you into the Radio Hall of Fame. Say, we're going to do year-round Christmas music. Year-round. Because we're almost there. They keep starting it earlier and earlier. We have been waiting to pull the trigger on Halloween music until you know, we get a little closer. But people are putting up Halloween decorations. How early is too early? If you want to weigh in on that, you can. But first, it's time for...
The Other Side of Midnight presents...
It's the $1,000 Minute. Answer 10 questions correctly in 1 minute, and you could win $1,000. Here's your host, Frank Morano.
Obviously, if you answer a question incorrectly, then the contest is over. Let's meet today's contestant, Mike, in Hackettstown, New Jersey. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. I'm surprised to be on the radio now, but...
All right. Well, I mean, you called in, Mike, so it can't be a total surprise.
No, but I mean, I misdialed. I said, "Oh, I'm not gonna be number 7."
All right. Well, I'm thrilled that we got you, Mike, and I'm wishing you the best of luck in the contest. Now, you're clear on the rules, right?
Yeah, I have to answer 10 questions in 60 seconds correctly.
Boom. And now, so if you get a question right, I'm just going to move on to the next question so that we can get through these quickly for your sake and for the audience's. So I'm not going to say that's right. I'm just going to keep going to the next question until you get one wrong or until we run out of time. So you're all set, Mike? Ready to go?
I'm all ready to go.
All right, let's do it. What do we call the first 10 amendments to the Constitution?
Bill of Rights.
Who is on WABC Sunday mornings at 10 a.m.?
Judge Jeanine.
Mike, unfortunately, Judge Jeanine is not on until 11. That is Rudy Giuliani. And Maria Ryan, who was on Sunday mornings at 10. I was just talking about Mayor Giuliani. Mayor Giuliani is on Sunday mornings at 10. A good guess, though. She's on at 11. So, Molly, grab Mike's information. We'll send him a hat as soon as we get our supply of hats restocked, because people are buying those hats like crazy. So we have to have more manufactured, but we'll get you in the queue on the waiting list for the Other Side of Midnight hat. If you want to get some other WABC hats or some other WABC merchandise, you can go to WABCRadioStore.com. That's WABCRadioStore.com. And pretty soon I am told that they'll not only be offering a fresh supply of Frank Morano hats, but pretty soon they're going to be offering the Other Side of Midnight t-shirts as well. So that'll be fun. But in the meantime, there's a lot of other cool stuff on there. You got Cousin Bruce shirts. You got, oh, right. Yeah, we're having some website problems. I forgot that. So the website is not currently up, but hopefully it'll be something that's fixed later this morning and you'll be able to get there. Now, I do want to encourage you to follow me on social media. I am on Twitter at Frank Morano. That's Frank Morano. I'm also on Facebook at facebook.com/MoranoFan. And if you want to email me on any subject, you can do so at frank.morano@wabcradio.com. That's frank.morano@wabcradio.com. I'm even on Instagram as well, at Morano Vision. It's Morano Vision. Now, if you follow me on Facebook or Twitter, I just posted a link that I could use your help with. I am participating in the National Psoriasis Foundation walk this year, and I haven't really asked anybody for contributions, and I haven't put anything out there asking for money because I've been so busy trying to raise money for the Tunnel to Towers walk. But this walk for the National Psoriasis Foundation is coming up in a week or two. So I do want to try and raise at least a couple of bucks. So if you want to make a contribution or if you want to walk with me, it's going to be a very nice event at the New York Botanical Gardens in the Bronx, and we can walk together. See, the Siller Run, I think part of the problem is because there's so many people, 30,000 people that participated, we couldn't even find all the people that wanted to walk with us. So that won't be the case for the National Psoriasis Foundation walk. It's a much smaller walk in a very picturesque area, the New York Botanical Gardens. So if you want to walk with me or if you want to make a contribution, please go to my Facebook, facebook.com/MoranoFan, or find me on Twitter at Frank Morano, and you can make a small contribution. I'm not going to be promoting this too much because, you know, they're not a formal advertiser, so I don't want to steal the station's airtime to promote charities that I'm involved in. But it is a good cause, so I do hope you will manage to make a small contribution. All right, talking a little bit about when is too early to put up decorations for a holiday, whether it's Halloween, whether it's Christmas. If you want to weigh in on Rudy Giuliani's ban from Fox News, you're welcome to weigh in on that as well. 800-848-9222. Michael is in Brooklyn. Michael's of Brooklyn happens to be one of my favorite restaurants, Michael.
Frankie, that's beautiful.
It's true.
Frankie, you're great. You're
Thank
fantastic.
You. Thank you.
You know something, Frank? I got to say something. For you to keep everybody up late at night, man, I think it's like we got to reverse everything. We got to start the whole world at 12 o'clock at night.
Well, thank you, Michael.
But honestly, about the old-timers working and, you know, still working, if they're able to do this job, whatever they're doing, I mean, give them credit. You know, I think they're vintage. They're like wine. You know, they're like, you know, and I think this country for many years now, I think since maybe, I don't know when, maybe 70s, 80s, we really have lost the respect for older people. I mean, older people are, older folks are like, you know, hey, you know, I remember one time when I was working, I was just a little, I don't know if we have a couple of seconds here, but when I was working at my first job, this young fellow was, you know, talking to this older guy. He was 50, he was only 59. He wasn't like 89 or 99. And he said to him, hey, you're so old, whatever, whatever, right? He said, hey, listen, I made it to 59. You still got to make it. You know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, no, and again, I have a lot of respect for older professionals, including in radio. I mean, if you listen to Cousin Brucey in his 80s, he sounds as good as he did 25 years ago.
He never changed.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Yes. And you know, it's just no, it's just something that, you know, your topics are fantastic. You really are. And I want to commend you. And happy birthday to Julie, right?
Yes, today's Juliet's birthday. Any suggestions birthday of what I should get her for a modest birthday gift?
Well, she's a Libra. So Libras, you really, they're not hard to please. They really aren't.
No, I don't think you've ever met Juliet, if that's the case.
But anyway, no, she's a sweetheart.
She is indeed.
Yeah, and I imagine she's a sweetheart off the air.
Oh, she's actually even nicer off air than she is on the air, Michael.
Frankie,
but I appreciate
I just
that.
Want to say, yeah, I just want to say also, I mean, the team, the whoever teamed you two guys up together, if you just did it yourselves, fantastic.
Well, that's awfully nice of you, Michael.
What a really fantastic. And I'm not saying this because I'm on the air with you. I'm saying this because this is what I feel.
Well, that's yeah. I appreciate that very much, Michael.
And just one more little comment.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
The Halloween and Christmas and all that good stuff. You know what? I think your 30 day window is just appropriate. I really do. I think 30 days is nice. And you know what's the best time of Christmas? The best time is after Christmas. You know, when all the hoopla is over and all that stuff, and you really lay back and, you know, you just, you know, enjoy, you know, just everything slows down a little bit, and you really get to enjoy, you know, Christmas even better, I think.
Well, Michael, I tend to agree. That's one of the reasons my favorite holiday, the holiday I most enjoy celebrating, is New Year's Eve, December 30th, because the Christmas decorations are still all up, but there's no rat race to rush everywhere, to get to parties,
exactly,
to rush to malls,
exactly,
to get gifts. I love that December 30th holiday. Michael, great call. I hope you'll call again, my friend.
Stay well, Frank, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. 800-848-9222. All right, some good news. The website is back up. WABCRadio.com is back up. So all of the people that have been listening on TuneIn, you can now feel free to go to WABCRadio.com, or you can feel free to listen through the smartphone app. Things are back up. Big thank you to our whole engineering team. Dan Herschel, I don't know who did this, who fixed it. But Doug Kilzer, Dan Herschel, and everybody else in the technical end of things, great job. Website's back up, looking better than ever. Pamela is in Central New Jersey. Hello, Pamela.
Good morning, Frank. My pet peeve is the rotating strobe light during Christmas time, and it especially if it's put up too early and stays too late, it shines in your window. It's horrible. And my pets even get terrified. And all that's missing is the carnival music.
Well, and if you go to Bay Ridge or Diker Heights, where they have those elaborate Christmas decorations, there are some houses that they have not only those strobe lights, but there are some houses that do have a lot of, I mean, it's not carnival music, but it is very festive music that seems to exacerbate the effect of those strobe lights. So I don't blame your pet for being a little frustrated with it.
Yeah, they get freaked out, and it keeps you awake.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it does. Yeah,
it's like
I'm not sure.
LSD trip.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's like an LSD trip.
No, you're exactly right. I'm not sure why people think that that's nice. I don't know how people think that that looks good, and I'm with you on that one, Pamela. You know, it's funny. I don't have a problem with glitter, but my wife despises glitter. So I was carrying all these baby shower gifts yesterday, and there's like three or four gift bags or gift wrappings that have some sort of glitter on it. You should have seen the lengths that my wife went to remove the glitter from her house. If there was any packaging that had glitter on it, she would say to me immediately, take the item out, throw it away immediately. Throw it away. I don't want any glitter in this house. And then she would begin this regimen of both vacuum cleaning and then taking a wet paper towel and wiping it and then taking a dry paper towel and wiping it. I mean, glitter is something – I think glitter for her is what strobe lights are for Pamela, which is something that some people think looks good but other people think is just irritating. 800-848-9222. Lucille is in Suffolk County. Hello, Lucille.
Nassau County.
Oh, well, not according to the screen, Lucille. Not according to Lucille.
She made a mistake.
Well, okay. That's okay. She had a good She had a good run. Thank you, Molly.
That's okay. Two things you covered last week that I couldn't get in touch with you. The shower curtain. Put a double rod, and you can get a heavy-duty liner in Bed Bath & Beyond that's mold-free, and you can change it like every 6 months, double rod. Second, you asked if anyone met anyone famous. I did about 40 years ago in Strawberries on Northern Boulevard in Great Neck, Bill O'Reilly.
Oh.
That was very nice. And here's an idea for a show for you. Ask anyone, have they ever been on a blind date that turned out well?
Well, actually, that's a great idea for a future segment, but don't tease us, Lucille. Have you ever been on a blind
Absolutely.
Date?
Absolutely. A blind date 40 years ago.
And what happened to the fella?
Well, we went together for 5 years, broke up, and then we reconnected about 14 years ago.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for
Good
the call,
idea.
Lucille. Appreciate it. 800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to – by the way, again, website is up and running. You could check out our podcast if you miss any portion of the show at WABCradio.com. That also means you could visit the WABC Radio Store at WABCRadioStore.com. And hopefully you're doing something fun this Monday. You know, I don't know what I'm doing, clearly. I know many of you say that all the time. But – on Friday, I do denunciations, and I denounced my friend Judge Ron Castorina for not inviting me to his fundraiser. And Ron is a close friend, and I was friends with him long before he was a judge. He was my lawyer before he was a judge. He was Curtis's lawyer at my recommendation, and he's a great guy. He's doing a great job as a civil court judge on in my neighborhood. So I complained about not being invited, and Ron had a very good explanation that, well, we sent the mail to your old address, and, it, you know, I guess you didn't get the message. So he still felt bad about me not being invited. So we agreed to have breakfast today at 7:30 a.m. Now, part of me just wants to go right to sleep. So I don't want to cancel on a judge. Especially now that he's running for state Supreme Court, you know, but God forbid I'm ever before him in his courtroom. I want him to treat me fairly. So I think what I might do today is try the Matt Sapienza sleeping schedule. See, Matt does a very different thing than me. See, I finish here, go right home and go to sleep. And then I wake up around 2:30, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, around there. And then I begin my day. And I stay up until 7:30, 8 a.m. the next day. But Matt, he leaves here and does things and accomplishes things. And then he goes to bed later and stays up later. And I've been meaning to try this. And maybe today's the day. Maybe today, since I have to go to this 7:30 breakfast, I'll force myself to stay up another hour or two, maybe work on tomorrow's show, and then see if I can get to bed maybe around 11 and then sleep a little later so that I have more energy tomorrow during the course of the show itself. We'll see. It's all an experiment. It's all an experiment.
Do not misunderstand me, though. I'm trying to stay up past, like, 7 o'clock in the morning after the show. It's tough.
Right, but you manage, though. You do it.
I fight the urge to go to bed, but I somehow do.
So I may take a page out of your book today, since I have to meet Judge Castorina for breakfast. I may soldier on until noon. See, the thing that worries me is I might make foolish mistakes as I'm preparing for the show. If I do my show prep from 7:30, say 8 a.m. to 11, rather than a well-rested 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., maybe I'll make some careless errors, which I don't know. We'll see. Well, I'll try it. Pete is on Staten Island. Hello there, Pete.
Hi, Frank. Yesterday I canceled my subscription to Fox News because banning Giuliani, that was, you know, a no-no with me because the man is the voice of reason like you are. And the other thing is at the Silla Foundation yesterday, I hurt my foot the day before. So what I did was I had a pizza party at Grimaldi's, and I want to thank everybody that showed up. And Anthony that owns it picked up the tab, surprisingly. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a contribution to the Stiller Fund and to your psoriasis fund because they're two great organizations.
Oh, that's awfully nice of you, Pete. Thank you.
Yeah, Renee has psoriasis, and we have access to a saltwater pool this year and last year, and it's helped so much with the saltwater and the sun. And, you know, the creams we stay away from because it's a little tough because Renee survived cancer from 9/11. So we're afraid with some of the steroids, you know. So this is really working out well. And I want to thank you for the work that you do and everybody that showed up at the Stiller Fund.
Well, I will join you in thanking them. And thank you to Anthony from Grimaldi's for doing the right thing there.
I heard on the news on your radio because I basically 90% I listen to 77 WABC for the news and all the great hosts are on. But I want to know, they said something about unemployment. It don't affect me at all, but I'm just curious. Unemployment will not be paid to anyone who gets fired or laid off for this vaccine thing. Now, how could they? It's an insurance policy with unemployment. How could they change the rules in midstream? I don't get that.
It's a good question. It's a good question, Pete, and it's not one that I have an answer to. But over the next couple of days, we'll talk with some experts, either in the employment field or the legal field, that that do have some answers on that. But I will look into that one. It's a great question, Pete. Pete, thank you for your nice words and your contribution there. 800-848-9222. We'll do 15 seconds of fame in just a minute. But speaking of money, we are seeing a big problem right now with inflation. Inflation is skyrocketing. The cost of everything is going up. You go to the grocery store lately, go to the gas station lately, try and buy a car lately. Things are tough. And your salary probably has not gone up as much as the price of things have. Inflation's a real problem, and it looks to only be getting worse. So what does that mean for you? Well, it means if you have your money sitting in a traditional retirement account, it could be just getting eaten away right under your nose by inflation. Gold and other precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and protect your retirement. So if you have an existing retirement account, think about rolling it into a gold or a silver IRA, and think about doing it with legacy precious metals, back in 2008 when the stock market collapsed and Americans lost their retirement. Those that were invested in gold saw huge gains and avoided the financial carnage. That's why gold should be a part of every wise investor's portfolio. Legacy is the company that you can trust because they give you unbiased counsel based on your individual situation. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. Call, write this number down, 866-932-0635. That's 866-932-0635. Or visit legacypminvestments.com. 15 Seconds of Fame is next. You can be heard on any subject, question, joke, promotional item, whatever, for 15 seconds if you dial 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Straight ahead. Yes, in 5 minutes, I have the distinct pleasure of co-anchoring an hour of news with a woman who only seems to grow more beautiful with age, a woman who who's very, very deserving of having all of her wishes come true every day, but especially birthday wishes today, and a woman who I had the great pleasure of walking with for 5 kilometers in our continuing effort to get America to convert to the metric system, the one and only Juliette Huddy. Hello, aww. Juliette, happy birthday.
Thank you. That was so much fun yesterday.
That was fun. I mean, we did kind of get separated from everybody, but
we did.
I was fine with me. I mean, we had a good group.
We did. I mean, one of our group was lagging behind a little bit.
Yeah,
shall
he didn't
say.
Have sneakers.
Believe me, I told him ahead of time. I said, I don't know that you're going to want to do this. He's 71 years old. I don't know. We have to regroup and deal with this again next year because that was a little annoying. But the whole day was just – it was awesome. And coming out of the tunnel and seeing all the firemen and the police officers and men and women all in their dresses – oh, my God. Their dress blues and wearing – holding these signs for all of the people who passed away. It was really incredible. Mm. Just a beautiful, beautiful day.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree – couldn't agree with you more.
And
it was
we missed
a lot of
you.
Fun.
We missed you at the Dos Caminos.
Yeah, how was your soiree afterwards?
It was so much fun. We had a really good time.
That's
we were
wonderful.
There until like 4 o'clock or something.
That's cool. That's
yeah,
cool.
5 o'clock, I think.
Good. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I am looking forward to co-anchoring the news with you in an hour.
I am too. I'm happy to be seeing you again in 4 minutes.
Absolutely. All right. In the meantime, if you have 15 seconds, you can give me a call, 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC, because it's time for...
The Other Side of Midnight. This is 15 Seconds of Fame.
Let me say hello to Eddie in Nassau. Hello, Eddie.
Hello, it's good morning, and it's not a conspiracy when it is an expose. The American people own the Dominion machines, and the rotors have to be turned over for everybody to realize that this election was a swindle.
Ray in Queens.
How can Saturday Night Live comedian Pete Davidson be the king of Staten Island when Frank Morano resides in that borough? I'm so confused.
Fred in Yonkers.
Hey, Frank, a couple of years ago, I went to a sidekick. She looked into a crystal ball, and she said, Frank is going to have a fourth cat named Mittens. We want the Flory Dories. We want the Flory Dories.
Neil on Staten Island.
Something's got to be done about inflation, Frank. $50 for a tank of gas. Went to Stop and Shop yesterday, $75. And I don't have anything to show for it, Frank. We got to reelect Republicans in 22.
Tom in the Bronx.
Yes, I'd like to say I listened to the Cindy Adams program Sunday, and she had a story where she was an actual witness to weather manipulation using a certain type of, like she called it, pills used on a storm that was headed for the Philippines when Marcos was there.
Raji is in Manhattan.
Rather than fleeing, why don't the supposed hardworking and enterprising Haitians remain in Haiti to transform their beloved country into paradise, just as the Jews did, turning theirs from, and the Germans and the Japanese, turning theirs from parking lots and barren deserts into paradises next?
Carol in New Jersey.
Hello, I'm calling in to say happy birthday to Julia.
Well, that's very nice. Thank you. And finally, well, maybe we'll squeeze in one or two more. 800-848-9222. Ray is in Raritan. Hello, Ray.
Yeah, what's happening at the southern border is a disgrace. It's wide open. Drugs are coming in. Crime is up in the big cities because the Mexican hitmen are walking right in. That's why there's so many shootings and little kids are getting killed.
And on that upbeat note, let's say hello to Pete. Hello, Pete.
Yeah, I want to wish Juliet a happy birthday, and I love her on her weekend show. She's flying solo. I love what the two of you together, but with her on the weekend, it's a breath of fresh air. Thank you so much.
All right, we'll end it there. Thank you, everybody. Have a great Monday. I hope Monday treats you well. I like Mondays, generally. You have a whole week worth of things to accomplish, and hopefully you're well-rested from the weekend. I'm exhausted from the weekend, but... That's just me. But stay tuned to the WABC Early News. There's a ton of news nationally, internationally, locally. And I will be doing it with the birthday girl, Juliet Huddy. And her only birthday wish is that you keep listening for the next hour. I'll be back at 1 a.m. as well to be continued.